Welcome back. Welcome back. Please find your seat. Got a couple housekeeping things. Make sure your cell phone is cut off. Want to make sure that we know the bathrooms are outside the door past the escalators. And if you can do me a big favor, we want to welcome our viewers in Latvia. Come on now, I know you're just coming back from lunch. You can do better than that. Latvia! Our viewers in Canada. Australia. That's right, Digby. And our viewers in the UK. Chad, do we have a video? No? Okay. So 2018, Danny's been talking about winning, and she's bringing it this weekend. Big thing for me is I'm a big sports guy, and preparation is key. Right now, we're at halftime. We are a day and a half into this event, and games are won and lost at this time. A lot of teams think that, hey, I'm up in the score, and I can just take it easy. But I tell you, now is the time to really press in. Really listen to what Danny's saying, because she's setting us up to win in 2018. She's setting us up to dramatically change our lives. So please press in and give her all the energy for the second half of this amazing weekend. I want to introduce you guys to somebody who's actually an inspiration to me. She just joined us January of last year. She has flown back here 6 times from Japan to make it to these events, live events. She's really trying to, well, no, she is setting herself up to win in 2018. She's setting her family up, and it's my pleasure to bring on Melissa Pomeroy.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much. It's been an honor to be up here. Prior to plugging into Danny, I was a total mess, and I didn't even know. That's like, I don't know what's worse, you know? I was a total mess. I loved my mom, but I hated her because I talked to her and I made her cry all the time. I just didn't know what to do. It was just a total wreck. And since plugging in, my life has completely turned around. I'm really happy to say that the best thing is my relationship with my mom. We're like best friends. Tomorrow's her birthday, and she does not feel neglected because I'm here. She wants me to be here because she's like, I don't recognize who she is, you know? And so that's been the best thing. On top of that, I was in the military before. I got out of the military and, you know, maintaining helicopters, and it was very challenging, and I know God took me through all of that, and it's just been amazing. So definitely I recommend the DJU. I got on my very first event. I came all the way from Japan because I was like, I'm desperate. I need a change. I need action. You know, I was plugging into Danny, like, audios, but coming here made a whole other difference. Like, it just, I don't know how else to explain it. It's just, and my marriage is amazing. I have an amazing husband. He's still serving out in Japan. And I love every single one of you guys. So thank you so much, DJU. Do you have any questions?
So how much debt have you paid off?
I have paid over $10,000 in debt. Yes.
And I know we talked briefly about the relationship with your mom. You guys didn't get along at all.
No, I never told my mom I love you growing up. That's how it was a wall. Like, we never talked. She never opened herself to me.
Sorry.
I hated my mom. Like, I didn't know. And I'm still healing, working with my father. because that was, you know, yeah, I grew up without him, but my mom is just an amazing woman. My dad, too. Like, I can see so much healing. I can't describe it. Like, it's so much joy. So you need to get yourself out here. I don't know where you're at in your life. If this is your first time, yes, we're weird. We're weird. But I'm freaking happy to be weird, you know? I'll die happy being weird.
Again, I want to reiterate, she's traveled 6 times from Japan. We have people in this area who aren't here. You guys are chosen people. You're destined for greatness. Keep plugging in, and you'll have dramatic results. Your testament, you inspire me.
Thank you so much. It's an honor. And you guys are amazing. The team, the DJ, like Danny Johnson community, Destiny Global, they are amazing people. They're there for you. They truly care for you. Like, you know, it's not about the money. It's not about the money. It's all about the results. It's all about, like, hey, what did you do today? Like, Tammy, Ian, oh my gosh, like, they're amazing. Laureen, you, Diane, oh my God, amazing coaching. Amazing coaching. Elena, like, I seen her taking notes. Like, it's the whole passion, how they invest in their team, you know? Like, you have to see that you're going to work for a company. You know, they care. Like, she works for a company. She's sitting there. She's getting herself trained. You know, they care for you. Yes. They care. They freaking care for you. No joke. Thank you so much, Tony.
You want to bring Daniel?
Okay, so with that being said, please help me welcome America's favorite multimillionaire, Ms. Danny Johnson.
From Japan, dang, man, that's far. That's way far. That's committed. All right, we are going to now move in the direction of increasing your value even more in every place that you live. And we're going to take this thing that we just did with the 14 strategies that I gave you in that first morning to lunchtime segment. And I want to see who went to lunch with 3 people you don't know. Impressive. Who actually formed the people you did not know? Amazing. I'm really proud of you, and I'm very impressed. Who did not go to lunch with 3 people that you don't know? You went to lunch with someone you didn't know, young man. So who didn't follow directions? Zahar, really? Okay, really? Okay, following directions is going to get you to where you want to go, even if you don't understand why. Just follow directions, okay? But I'm proud of you. The majority of your room actually did this. Now, you do have a homework assignment tonight at our dinner break. And on our dinner break, your homework assignment is going to be to complete, actually by the time the night ends, to form 10 people. You're going to form 10 people. Now, if you already formed 3 at lunch, you have a head start. That's 7 more. Before midnight tonight, you will have completed forming 10 people. Now, at the very end of the last segment, I was talking to you about becoming a connector and the value in becoming a connector. This is really important for you to understand. If you want to move up in what you're doing and you want to elevate your position and elevate your influence, that's going to be based on the amount of people that you're associating yourself with. I'm going to say that again. Not only just people, but who, right? You know, they say it doesn't matter what you know, it's who you know, okay? It's who you know. So there's something else that people bring, and that is, well, new people. This is your first time. Can you stand up if it's your first time? Awesome. 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 Good job. All That's awesome. So I have a question for you. Please just stay standing. It's easy for me to focus on you if I can see you. What is another thing that people can bring? What do people bring to the table? If money comes from people, money is one thing. But what is another thing that's actually sometimes more important than money? Someone says skills, someone says value. Hey, newbies, the ones that are standing are talking, young lady. Say again. An open mind, knowledge. Can be a good attitude, can be honor if they know how to do that. Sadly, most don't. Energy. Okay. Inspiration. Yeah, all of these things are important, but they also bring opportunity. Opportunity, which is connections. So every person that you run into that's 20 years old and over knows 2,000 people you do not know. 2,000 people you do not know. Out of 2,000 people, do you think there might be opportunity with those 2,000 people? So there's doors that can open, business opportunities that can come from that, client relationships that can come from that, okay? All of that. Now, I asked this question before we went to lunch. What does every business, every church, every charity, every organization need? They need people. They need people. They need people in the form of customers. They need people in the form of what else? Employees, which not just employees, friends. No, they need job dommers. You're like, what the hell is a job dommer? I'll tell you what it is. A job dommer is someone who is going to dominate their job. They're going to rise to the top. They see themselves as partners instead of employees. They bring their full game to the table. They're not slackers. They're not slackers with a good attitude. They are like the top. They are the people who rise to the top because they see themselves as partners, even as a receptionist, even as a warehouseman. Do you understand? No matter what their job title is, they see themselves as a partner. And they're there to learn and to bring their game. So how you rise up to the top inside of organizations is by not knowing everything, but it's by knowing how to recruit other people that are better than you. And so what does every business, organization, church, and charity need? People, but not just people. So they need customers. One thing that has to be defined is what kind of a customer. So when you're forming somebody, and let's say that somebody works for a company or that person has a company, your job is to find out who is their ideal customer. If you find out who their ideal customer, their best customer is, now you can help serve them. You can say, you know what? Let's exchange phone numbers. Let me see who I might know that fits what you just told me. I might know a few people that could use your service. Now, what did you just do?
Networking.
You, no. You gave. You gave. You see, networking can be rather self-serving.
Oh, okay. I see how you did
that.
Okay.
Why do people go to a Chamber of Commerce meeting? To what?
Networking.
People go to a Chamber of Commerce meeting to network. Network for what? Themselves. Which means networking is rather self-serving. On the low end. When you, I'm going to the Chamber of Commerce meeting to what? Get what? Business. Those are the 98%ers that show up at the Chamber of Commerce meeting and largely don't get much out of it. And why? Because they're coming to get what they want. Instead of going to a Chamber of Commerce meeting to, what should you do? Give what? Referrals. If you want to get referrals, you have to give referrals. So if you're attending networking meetings, don't be a 98%er to go there to network, which is what some of you did when you came here. You were coming to network to get some contacts, to perhaps steal somebody's organization, to get some customers, to perhaps take some of Danny's content and use it in your next training. Came to get. Get out of the getting economy. Get into the giving economy. So if you're going to go to a chamber of commerce, if you're going to a BNI, if you're going to whatever these networking meetings are, what should be the focus? To give. How do you know what to give? You form them. You form them so that you can find out actually what their needs are, what their interests are, what their strengths are, what their goals are. When you're forming them, you should be listening from the terms of who do I know that I can send to this person? Who do I know that I can give contacts to? How can I help their business grow? Write this down. It's really important. I said to you there was a couple little things that I focused on, and one particular that I focused on. You guys can sit down. One particular that I focused on when I was homeless and how I got myself out of that depressing, suicidal position. What did I say that I focused on? I focused on other people. I focused on other people. That dug me out of my pit. Literally, it was like a lifeline. It dug me out of my pit. I found that when I focused on other people's problems, I forgot about my own. I completely forgot about my circumstances. I forgot that I wanted to hang up my ex-husband by his big toe. I totally forgot that I really wanted to do that. And now all of a sudden, I was caring about other people's pain is what it was. I started to connect with what other people's problems were, and I totally forgot about my own for quite a long time. I forgot about my own. So the thing that I focused on was this, and this was my marketing plan, and it still is my marketing plan to this day, and it's really, really simple. Probably isn't a marketing plan, it's been my marketing plan. You ready for the marketing plan? You ready for the tens of millions of dollar marketing plan? You ready?
Spit it out.
Who can I help to succeed? Who can I help to succeed? Who can I help to succeed? That's been my marketing plan for 27 straight years. I don't plan on changing it anytime soon. Why don't you say it with me? Who can I help to succeed? Now you, when you live from that position, you have become a highly attractive person. You now have become a people magnet. Versus, how can I get more customers? How can I get more talent in my sales organization or in my company? No. Who can I help to succeed? Not where can I go to network, because again, that often, and I'm so glad you said that word. I'm really happy that you said that. No, seriously, because we've all been fished that idea to go network with people. No, it's go get customers from a group of people. But if you go in there and how do you shift it? You now rise above everyone else that is in that networking meeting because you're not like anyone else. Everyone else is there to get. So how you stand out of the crowd and now how trust gets established with you and why people will start to send you referrals is because they trust you. I'm so glad you see it. So who can I help to succeed? Every doctor should think like that. Every realtor should think like that. Everyone who sells insurance, every retail store owner, every airline. If everyone did that, we'd have to come up with a different strategy. The fact that nobody thinks like that means you have the best strategy. It means you have the best strategy. You have a unique strategy. You have something that most people will not do, which now elevates you versus you looking like everybody else. Find out what everybody else is doing and do the
opposite.
Be the weird family. It wasn't hard for me. Wasn't hard for me to be weird. I was born weird with all kinds of issues. Vertebrae missing, crooked back, all kinds of great things. Okay, so when I was talking about being a connector, and if you're going in terms of I'm forming somebody, right, and you're thinking, okay, how can I direct them to something that can help them? How can I direct them to something that can help them? How can I direct them to something that can help them? How can I direct them to something that helps them? Keep that as your focus. You're gonna build a huge list. And by the way, lists are worth millions of dollars. Databases, they're worth millions of dollars. Companies pay huge amounts of money for lists. So you're building a list. You're going to start with your own personal list of resources. And what I'm about to show you next is how to take all those skills that you just learned with form and listening and edification and all that stuff and this mindset of give versus try to get. Now we're going to create a synergy with every contact in which you make. And you're going to be a matchmaker of talent and skill set with other people who need it. So I'm going to ask the question again. What does every company, organization, charity, and church need? People. Everyone needs people. I was in India doing a pastor's conference before 3,000 pastors a couple years ago. An incredible honor to be asked by the head of the largest evangelical organization in all of India, okay? 10% of a billion people are Christians there. So they have a pretty good large association of pastors there, evangelicals, and the president of it and I work together. So he brought me to India to do a two-day pastor's conference. So pretty much we did almost a first step to success. In India for these pastors. And it was so interesting because as soon as I got on stage at this enormous place, it was really funny. I had my Bible and it's a pastor's conference. So of course I'm going to be pointing and shooting, right? Pointing and shooting from the reference book, right? But right when I step into it, I felt the Spirit tell me, put that down. I don't want you to teach from it at all. They know too much and don't activate. So do what you do at First Steps. People learn more when they don't know it's my word. It's true. Because if this is a church conference, you'd be snoring like you do every Sunday. Sad. As soon as somebody opens the book, you go, I already know this stuff. So I asked the question of the pastors. I said, most of you are in poverty. Most of you have impoverished congregations. Most of your congregation has a business or works or somebody that does. What is the number one thing that everyone in your congregation needs? And here were their answers. Prayer! And I said, nope. What does the business owner who is starving need in your congregation? He says, the Holy Ghost. Nope. What does every starving businessman in your congregation that you're trying to get the last 3 pennies out of his pocket need? I kept asking the question. They kept saying religious things. They need a Bible study. They need prayer. These were their answers. And I said, what does a starving person need? I'm trying to break it down so plain. What does a freaking starving person need? They're like, breakthrough. Another one said, Jesus. Like, you are so disconnected from the needs and the reality of your sheep. The starving person in your pew needs food that they can put in their mouth, that they can chew. Their child needs some freaking rice. You know I'm talking to them just like this. And I'm still alive. With an interpreter, by the way, who was afraid to interpret what I was interpreting. I called him right out. Right out. And here's why. So some of the things I say, he said, praise the Lord, hallelujah. He's saying it in Tagalog or whatever the language was that he was saying. I said, I didn't say that. You just spoke three more sentences I spoke. You will interpret what I say. Do not guess what I'm going to say. You interpret the words I say and you interpret the way I'm saying it. Otherwise, I am wasting my time here right now. Yes, ma'am. They have to get this, and they will not get it if you are not translating properly. So what does that person who owns a business in your congregation need? They're still giving all these spiritual answers, which is why their congregation is still broke. Connect. You're a shepherd. Do you not know what the needs are? The business person, what does the business person need? All these spiritual answers, all these spiritual answers. And I'm like, how does the business person make money? I said, he needs customers. Have you ever referred business to the businessman that is inside your congregation who is struggling in his business? You have a lot of people in your church who should be doing business with each other. And you have not edified any of those business people. You beat them up every Sunday to beat them for a buck out of their pocket that they do not have. They're trying to make a choice. Do I feed my kid or do I give it to my pastor? You'll never find a more devoted people than the Indian people. So devoted to whatever God it is that they're chasing. So devoted. So I'm trying to break it down to you in the same way. What does every business need? They need people. They need customers. They need talent, right? They need skilled professionals to come in that are going to help to elevate that brand. If you are a resource center of people, then you can help those businesses grow. You help those businesses grow. What happens to the economy? The economy goes up. You see, the economy has nothing to do with whatever president is staying in that old white house down the street. It has to do with what we do. It has to do with what we do. So if we're not helping our fellow man with referrals, well, then the economy gets stuck. If everyone's trying to get, which is, by the way, what is going on in our nation right now, in this nation, trying to lean us in the direction of always needing to be getting something versus what can we do to help, what can we give? It's always let's train the next generation to want a handout. Let's give them free this, let's give them free that, free this, free that. Now they've lost their own will to do anything on their own. So when you think in terms of, okay, if I know how to, I can form people, I know 2,000, you all know 2,000 people right now. You know 2,000 people that I do not know. So that's already one part of a database that you have. If on a daily basis you are adding people to that database, you will never, ever, ever need to purchase leads from anywhere. Never. You will never run out of people, okay? I know this, I've tested it myself. Hello, you're here, and I didn't personally call you to invite you. I did not, yeah, what, Danny? You didn't call me personally? No, I did not personally call to invite you. Somebody else did on my behalf. That's crazy, isn't it? So when you create an environment and an experience that causes people to open their mouth and talk about you, that's what I'm trying to show you how to do right now. So when you've sown so much seed in the right direction of doing this with people, cultivating relationships, giving referrals, focusing on how can I help them to succeed. When you've done this, it will come back to you. So what I'm about to show you is equally as powerful as what I just showed you on the board with form. And therefore, you have to be equally responsible with the knowledge that you're about to get and the skill that you're about to develop. Because we're going to create a collision of talent and skill between all the people that you already live and work with and between the people that you're going to meet once you leave here. When you start to practice this thing called form, you're going to be, your whole life is going to be opened up to a whole new group of people. And now it's going to be, how do I get these all to work together? So if companies, organizations need people, what could every child of a family do to help dad keep his job? Someone said make dinner. Hopefully his wife is not watching TV or spending hours on Facebook and she's actually doing her job. That kid is forming other students, finding out what their parents do for a living, cultivating relationships on behalf of the family. What should every wife be doing? The same, I want to cuss right now, mother thing. Sorry. The same thing. What should every husband be doing if the wife has a business or a job? The same thing. Everyone should be forming everywhere all the time, cultivating relationships to see the wealth of resources that are all around you, that God specifically placed you in a highly resourceful position. You are surrounded by people, all of which know 2,000 people you do not know. All of these are resources. If you're teaching your kid how to form, you're teaching him highly effective communication skills when he's young. Teaching him how to be contributing to the family business. And what is the family business? What's the family business? Whatever business that dad works for. Because dad is not an employee, he's a partner. He has partnered with a company. He's bringing his part to the table. The owner brings his part to the table. The other employees bring their part to the table. Do you understand? It's a completely different mindset than the 98%er. You're looking for job dommers, which, by the way, is a training called job domination, an entire training that tells you exactly how to become that partner inside of an organization. Become the employeepreneur. Quit thinking of yourself as an employee. Become the entrepreneur on site. But if you really look at it, are you a partner inside that business? Do you share in the profits? Yes, you do. Every week you're getting paid. What are you getting paid from? Profits. That owner is distributing some of his profits through his staff in the form of the salary or the hourly wage or whatever. And if you choose to rise yourself up to wherever you choose to rise yourself up to, then in our company, everyone participates in the profits. There's a profit sharing bonus that everyone gets every quarter. And they're the ones that directly impact what the profits are by how much they're willing to save the company money using war on debt, what I showed you yesterday, using war on debt. They're not wasting crap. They're not wasting paper clips. They're using scratch paper. Do you understand? They're being wise with money. They're not foolishly overspending our money. They're wisely making investments. Okay? They're not being foolish with anything. Most of them. And those that are, they're going to stay stuck in the lower end positions. Those of them who decide to be wise and use this training, which unfortunately not everybody does, but that is just my business is the same as everybody else's. You've got 80% of the people that are not willing to follow directions and 20% that do. You have 80% in my company, just like there is in yours, 80% that punch in, punch out, do their minimums, could care less about the vision, don't really want to be there. They're just happy to have a job, maybe some days, and 20% of them that are all in on the vision. And I'll tell you, it's most of our young people that are just like, boom. Our millennials are amazing. I would like 100 of them. I'm not saying that us older people are not. We just come from more with more baggage and BS. But everyone's committed. I do have majority of our team that is committed. It's just different various degrees of commitment inside the organization. Anyway, so if the whole family sees the dad's job as the family business, why? Because it is the family legacy. The money that he makes is just cash flow. And if the family's all in with not using dad as an ATM machine, but the family's all in on living off of 70%, 10% goes to investing. Now we're training everybody in the entire family to be thinking about what? Investing opportunities. So remember what I said, that the work life is what? It's provision for what? Not just money, but what else? Training up the next generation. So if we're teaching our kids to cultivate relationship, now mom can come in and form some more and find out, hey, maybe, you know, you might need what my husband does. You might need what their company does. Amazing company. And you and the wife and the kids edify the job. What is that? That is advertising. That is referring business, securing dad's check every single week coming in. Instead of complaining about your dad's job or complaining about your husband's work. Complaining that he doesn't make enough. Biting at his heels the minute he walks in the door. This is broken. That's broken. When are you going to get to this? Here's my honey-do list. You're my slave now. Not greeting him at the door looking hot. Not greeting him at the door with a hot meal. Making him come home to a prison. You can ask my goddaughters how my husband comes home, what he comes home to. What does my husband come home to? A nice, this is out of the mouth of my 21-year-old goddaughter. She says, a nice hot meal and a nice hot wife. They literally had asked me the question. Shavanti would ask me. She's 16 years old, spent a month or so with us. And she's like, why do you get dressed? Why do you go put your makeup on? I mean, what's the point? And I had the grandkids with us at the time. They were with us for a week. Remember that? Yeah, six of the eight were with us. And so, you know, I was with my grandkids all day and doing the thing that I do as a grandmother. And we had some homeschooling stuff that we were doing at the time because they were homeschooled. And then I'd say, okay, guys, Pops is going to be here in an hour. It's time to get everything cleaned up. And remember, when he walks in the door, yes, I want you to say hi to him, but let's just go ahead and keep things down so he can decompress for a little bit. Okay. And go get your hair done. Go get dressed. Make sure you look good. Make sure everything's all nice and tidy. Vonzi was going like, why do you do that? I'm like, because my husband just finished working really hard for our entire family and our legacy. And I want him to want to come home. So good. So good. But why do you get dressed? Because I better look hot for the man. Because he's out in the marketplace all day and there's lots of hot women everywhere. And if I think for a half second that there isn't some broad that isn't going to try to lasso him in, I'm a fool. I'm a complete fool. So I want to honor him with a smile, how I'm dressed, and that food that no one else can cook him. Guaranteed. No one else can cook him. So day after day, she'd be asking me. Then she, I don't want to tell you what she said after that. But anyway, the point is, why would I look nicer here, but not look good for my husband when he comes home? That'd be a manipulator and a poser. That I care more about looking good before strangers than I do before my husband? That'd be wrong. That's real wrong. So, how do we work it all together? So if every company needs customers and they need talent, they need employees, then friends, then we have to start contributing as a family unit into that. To help take the burden off of any one person's shoulders, that the whole family is helping to carry the load. Now the next generation knows how to work, knows how to communicate. Do you understand? Now we're training the kids to honor and respect the chain of command, because there is chain of command in a family. There is chain of command in a job. There is chain of command in the government. There's chain of command in a church. There's chain of command in the kingdom of heaven. It is. And when you honor that and you teach your children to honor that, now you have something powerful. Now we're raising citizens that should be on the earth that will change the world. Yes. Instead of takers, we have what? Givers. We have givers, all right? So everybody in this room has various different parts of four different personalities inside of you. Every person you know, 2,000 people that you know also have a dominant personality, and they have a secondary personality. Then they have a little bits of these other two personalities. We're going to show you how to what motivates you, how to figure yourself out, and how to figure out who is around you. Your children, your spouse, your second string team at work, the prospects that you're talking to on the phone or that you're messaging on Facebook or Instagram. This is going to show you how to advertise more clearly to the people you should be advertising to if you do advertising for your business. It's going to show you how to locate exactly who it is that you need and stop messing around with who you don't need. You're also perhaps going to discover why some people drive you nuts and how to solve that issue. All right. How many of you have some people that absolutely drive you crazy? Okay. So you're going to discover why that is. And you're also going to learn how not to try to change people. Okay. Because trying to change people creates contention, and contention is evil. Amen. Trying to change people is striving against another human being's form that was put together with all the right parts by the Creator and not you. So they were put together with all the right parts for a purpose, for a reason. And many times us humans try to change somebody else's design. But the great designer designed every single person in this room for himself, because he delights in the form in which he created. And if you don't like your form, there must be something you do not understand about you. And if there's people you don't like, there must be something you don't understand about them. Do you understand? So it's the same. I used to not like Hispanics because I was molested by one. So I didn't understand that the one that hurt me, then I then took that hurt to hating all Hispanics. And then I found out I was one. When I was 18, can you believe that? I grew up hating Hispanics. And I am one. How nuts. So I'm going to show you the different forms of the different people that you live with, work with, that's on all three of your teams. How to work better with them, how to locate what you need, how to solve problems with them, and a lot of clarity is about to come into your heart, your spirit, and your mind. You're going to learn so much about yourself. The way that we're going to do this is we're going to have to collaborate together. There's almost 1,000 of us in this room, okay? That's a lot of people. I don't know if you noticed. There's a lot of freaking people in here. So with all of us, okay, we're going to be working together. And so I need you to follow directions really, really well. This next segment is called Gems. There's four basic personalities. You have all four inside of you. Okay? You have all four inside of you. Pull out a fresh piece of paper and a pen. And what I want you to do is draw a line from top to bottom and left to right. So you're going to make four different squares, okay? Now listen, you have all four in you. Can you say that with me? I have all four in me, okay? So you have all four in you. So what we're looking for is what the... Yes. My mouth is watering. Okay, so we have all four in us. What we're looking for is what your dominant gem is, all right? How many have ever taken a personality test? Okay, cool. I did two about 30 years ago. And when I took this test, being dyslexic, barely having a high school education, where I grew up in a tiny little, school with trailers. Do you hear what I'm saying? Where someone's mom was teaching me, was not accredited school, was not accredited teachers. Do you hear what I'm saying? So my education is squat. Okay. So I had dyslexia. I don't have a very large vocabulary. This test was four words, circle one word you feel best describes you. That is, of course, if I know what the freaking word means. Which I didn't know what a lot of the words meant. So I'm just like, You know, kind of like how you do the SATs. Ding, 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 ding. How many of you did your SATs like that? That was me. I was just making diagrams. Right? Any of the standardized testing that you had to do every year in school, how many of you did it that way? You literally just made diagrams. That's me, okay? So that's exactly how the personality test felt to me. All I literally did was just, I didn't know what all four of them meant, so I just circled whatever, whatever, whatever. So I know I jacked the test up, but something powerful hit my head. What hit my head was there was four different types of people. That was like, wow, that's a trip. It took me a long time to figure out who I was, by the way, a really long time, because again, I jacked the test up, right? I totally jacked it up. I picked words of what I wanted to be instead of what I was. Yeah. It's because I hated what I was, and I wanted to be somebody else. So I, you know, circled whatever that I wanted to be versus who I really was. So I discovered that there were four different types of people in that test. I coupled that with learn more about people. Learn more about people than you do your product or service and unusually successful. By the way, I want to tell you that many of you have been activating what you've been learning for the last day and a half, so much so that the security manager who is my escort, who is a woman from Poland, sweet, wonderful, powerhouse woman, she asked me, she says, how is your stay here? And I said, oh, it's fabulous. But how is our stay here for you? And she says, oh, honey, wonderful, wonderful. These are the nicest people. It's truly been a blessing to us. Just last night, me and my coworkers were talking about how wonderful this group is. Normally on the weekends, we have not so nice people. But these people are so nice. It's refreshing. It's wonderful. It's such a blessing. Good job. Good job. Do you know that that is the testimony of the DannyJohnson.com community in every city that we go to? That is the reputation in every single hotel. And do you know what that's allowed us to do? That's allowed us to get really low rates so we can keep our costs down, so we can keep our ticket price low for you. That's how. Because normally a Hyatt would not agree to our conditions. No way. They wouldn't agree to taking, wait till you hear about where Hot Marriage Secrets is and the price that we got the hotel rooms down to. We're talking in half, in half, in half. I will tell you soon. You have to be a Dynasty grad in order to go to Hot Marriage, is the bottom line. Everyone has to be a Dynasty grad in order to go there. You can't, we're not going to deal with anyone that's not a Dynasty grad. Not at all. Not possible. Creating a Dynasty is, yeah. Anyway, it's a stair-step thing. So anyway, poop stain. So with form, okay, with form, which is what many of you are doing to the hotel staff, right? So what happened, like I said, remember before the break, I'm like, look, God is just waiting for you. Go, come on. I just showed you now how to love your neighbor. Do these things. And now what happens? Favor comes to you. So this is how we're able to sustain this. We have the hotels that we're in call the next city and hotel and say, you want these people. Yes. Don't worry about the contract, what it is. You want these people. These are the best customers. These are the best tippers. They are really nice to the staff. They are not stressed out, mean people screaming at people. You really want these people in your hotel. So, good job. I'm proud. Mom is proud. I'm so proud of you. Like, you're representing, okay? All right, so go home and do that for your husband and your wife's business as well, right? Thank you for doing it with ours, but you need to do this for your own businesses as well, of how you're honoring people. So here's these four different personalities, okay? We picked Gems, and here's why. Largely because when I took my personality test, I can't even remember. I think it was like colors, right? Like, who wants to be a red? What the frick is a red? Okay, and then there's other personality tests. It's like an otter. Okay, wait, I could be an otter or a lion. Oh, okay, I want to be a weak, suck little badger, or I want to be a roaring lion, right? Like, how mean? How could you call somebody a badger or an otter? Oh, you're an otter. Like, excuse me? Okay, what about this? What about this? Melancholy. This is my favorite. Phlegmatic. Does anyone here want to be melancholy or phlegmatic? No. So when I heard about these tests, I'm like, gosh, they're so de-edifying. Their terms that they've used are so devaluing. Or I'm a D. You're an I. What the frick is that? That is so de-edifying. It is de-edifying. It's devaluing. It's degrading to call somebody an otter and someone else gets to be a lion, or I'm a color, or I'm a letter, or I'm a number. So here's what came to me. It's like, everyone is a gem. Everyone has value. Everyone is born with value. And when all of us are born, we must go through refinement for the greater value to come out of us, just like a gem. So, for example, a ruby is lost basically in a rock, and it takes a trained eye to see that inside that rock is a ruby. And then it takes another skilled hand to chisel away all the other stuff that doesn't have value to get to the value itself. And then it goes to refinement again, where now you take the stone and now you have to cut the stone, cut, chisel, cut, cut, slice. How many of you have been cut a few times in the last day and a half? You've gone through now. The next step after the cutting is the refiner's fire. Okay, so where the gem goes from there, once it's now beautiful, now it has to be faceted inside of metal for it to reach its highest value. And to be faceted within metal, that's 500 degrees. Ouch. Do you understand? So every gem has to go through refinement in order to reach its highest value. So you get to determine how high the value is that you want presented to all three teams based on what kind of refinement you're willing to submit yourself to. No refinement, you're of the lowest value. You're just in its natural state, which still has value, but it's not the highest value possible. Make sense? So this is Gems. And by the way, I am the creator of Gems. Okay? It is copyrighted material. I have written this. This is all original content. Everywhere else that you've seen Gems, people have stolen it. Stolen it. It's okay. They get letters from our attorneys. Anyway, the first gem is a sapphire. Okay? And a sapphire is those people who just screamed out, and they are motivated by fun. Oh, yes. This is a must in their life, okay? The second gem is a pearl, and they're so cute. They are motivated by service. They're motivated by serving other people. The next gem opposite of a sapphire is called an emerald. And an emerald is motivated by facts and figures. Everything's black and white. There is no gray area. Math. Data. Spreadsheets. And then there is a ruby who just tried to compete with the sapphires because they are motivated by a challenge. Okay? They're motivated by a challenge. Now, what I want you to do is put an X in the box that best fits you. You've all taken a personality test. This is not difficult, okay? So put an X in the box that best fits you. All right, you have a dominant gem that you operate in most of the time, and then there is a secondary gem that you operate in second of the time. It's improper grammar, but oh well. Anyway, so pick your primary, all right? Now, some of you are going to figure this out today. Others of you, it's going to take a little while for you to kind of find your place, and it's okay, all right? There's no wrong answer here. This is self-discovery and self-awareness, as well as the awareness of those that are going to be around you, how to better motivate yourself and how to better motivate the ones that are around you instead of trying to change people, all right? So now what we're going to do, I need you to look around your space where you're at right now. This is another little test of self-awareness. And I want you to see where all your junk is. And I want you to put all your junk on your body. Because many of you thought you were here to camp this weekend. You got all your stuff on your person? Okay. Because we're actually going to move this room. All these chairs are not going to be in their space that they're in right now. So we got to work together like a team. So up here on this stage is where our sapphires are going to be. Right in the limelight where they belong. And then, can I get a halfway line through here? Halfway? Raise your hand. All the way halfway. That is going to split. This side over is going to be the pearl section. Okay? And over here in the pearl section, what I need you to do in a minute, not now, is you're going to turn your chair so that you're facing center. Everyone's going to be facing a middle hole, okay? So that you can see each other. I want you to be able to see people's body language, the way they dress, and the way they respond, okay? Over here is going to be our rubies, and the back perfectly organized is our emeralds, okay? Now, I need to split this also. Can you raise your hands right here? Raise your hands all the way back. So these chairs on this side is going to be the ruby section. All right, so listen carefully. We're going to all work together right now to move the room. And this is what it's going to look like. Can I see where the sapphires are? There's quite a few of you. Anyone want a bite? Yeah. Sorry. Not today. Not today. Okay. I don't want any deli meat. This is what I want. And I have earned this thing. All right. So we made up the lines, right? So the ruby and the pearl section, what you're going to do when I say go is you're going to take your chairs, you're going to push them towards the back wall, turn them and face them in. You're going to create rows. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Pearl section, raise your hand and tell me. You understand what I'm saying, okay? Ruby section, you're going to do the same thing. Okay? Can you see me, right? So you're going to turn the chairs. They're all going to face this way. You're going to start by putting them in the very back. You're going to make rows, all right? Hold on. Emeralds, where are you? Okay, keep your hands up. Holy crap. A lot of work on me. Oh, wow. Not a lot. Big group. It's more emeralds. Sorry, I know my mom told me not to keep my mouth open, but I'm sure my mouth full. I won't choke. If I do, I'm sure there's a doctor that can help me. I have a feeling we'll be good. So once the rubies split off and the pearls slip off, I want you guys to create rows in this aisle. So you're going to take the chairs and kind of bring them together. You know what I'm saying? We'll need to fill in this section. Here's what I want to do. Emeralds, again, raise your hand. This is going to be the emerald section, right here. So if you're a pearl, if I said half the room is going to pearl the other half, don't do that. These chairs stay right here and just slide them in, okay? You can do that right now. Scoot your chairs in. You can't. No, it's too late. Gary, it's too late. People are already behind you doing it. All right. Sapphire section is going to be the other half, right? That's not pearl and ruby. And the other half from here, pick up the chairs, take them up on the stage, and those are the sapphire chairs. If I could have some emeralds and rubies help us make it somewhat orderly, that would be fabulous. Over there. What did you do to yourself?
Try this down, Conference.
Oh. Okay. Hey, you cut your hair off. All right, you guys did a great job. And look at that. We even had more. Within about a 4.5% error, almost perfectly calculated.
I love that.
Yeah, it's about 4.5% error. It wasn't bad. I mean, wouldn't you agree? I mean, I literally just looked around the room and saw how many hands and then assessed the chairs and figured, actually, it's a bit more than that. There's quite a few empty. It's maybe 10% error. Not bad for a guess. Most of life is guessing. You might want to write that down. Most of life is guessing. Most of succeeding in life is guessing. Most of succeeding in life is guessing. Guessing. You can ask any millionaire and billionaire if they knew exactly how things were going to turn out, and they'll tell you no. They will tell you that they've guessed a lot. Jeff Bezos, his guesses have lost him billions of dollars. But his guesses have also made him billions more than he lost. Are you willing to guess like that? You have to be willing to guess like that. Seriously. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. So, gems. Anytime that there is going to be a project done by an organization or an organism called a family, the rubies are ready to start, take charge, lead the way, and tell everybody how to do it, okay? So they always have to be first. They were born that way. They have to be first. They want to lead. And that is a measure of leadership. Love the color. Miss you. However, that's not the highest level of leadership. It's about seventh grade. Because true leadership is a leader who develops other leaders. That's the highest form of leadership. So that's a question that I have for you. How many leaders have you developed? Where did she go? There you are. You'd ask the question like, how do I switch to focusing on other people? As a Ruby, this is a must. Because you can't develop leadership or have any duplication inside of your organization if you are not leaning in your ear to understand the different people and what motivates them. What we tend to do is try to motivate people with what motivates us. And that's where we fail. So you can't get people to follow you if you don't know how to motivate them with what motivates them. So that's why form is so important. So, Rubies, patience is a lifelong journey. Take a deep breath. Deeper, Billy. So, patience is a lifelong journey. It's an important characteristic for a Ruby. So we're going to give you that opportunity today is to practice that thing called patience that you've been working on since you were three. So you're not going to be first in this exercise because wisdom tells us that he who must be first must first be last. You all right? Well, you're not a loser. You're just last today. So somebody just said, I think I'm an emerald. I'm out of here. But you see, the emeralds don't care where we start, as long as we start in a timely and efficient fashion. The pearls also don't care where we start as long as we don't start with them. They're very uncomfortable being in a lead position. They're very uncomfortable being first. So that leaves us with only one more option. And there it is. Okay, so sapphires. You can tell generally, often by their clothing. They like to express themselves. They were born to do this, by the way. They're born to express themselves on the outside. Their outside appearance really shows a lot about who their person, what their personality is. Please, gorgeous. Please, please, please. Look at that. That is amazingness. You see your husband? He's all proud of her, man. Yes, this is gorgeous. Okay, look at that hair. This says sapphire written all over it. All right, the entire getup. This is just sapphire written all over her. Lots of different accessories. This hair color might change next week to a bright purple or a hot red or a bright yellow or whatever, because sapphires really enjoy variety. Okay, we have to have the gentleman represent. Dude, this is just, come here, come here, come here, come here, come. Come, 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 come. Just look at that. Just look at that. Look at this. Okay, just turn, take a nice little turn. Woo, check. You see those shoes? Okay, this is Sapphire Man. Okay, with a side of ruby. It's a Sapphire Man with a side of ruby. Okay, all right, so. That's generally, you can go back and sit. Right. That's generally, you can spot them because they like to express themselves with color, with clothing, with accessories, something that's different. They are the trendsetters inside of a family, inside of a business, in the marketplace. They're the trendsetters. They're inventors. They are innovative. They think outside of the box. They tend to not be rule followers. There is something that was knitted inside of them before they hit the foundations of the earth, and that was that rules were meant to be
broken.
Wow. How is that possible, right? How is that possible? Okay, so there's lots of, like I said, damaged hair, lots of color, lots of variety. These are the people that when you go out to dinner with them, they feel entitled to your food. And so they might sound like they're trying to serve you and they want to ask you, what are you getting? They want to know what everybody at the table is going to order first because they want to taste everything on the menu. Because they like variety. Everything, there's got to be lots of options. They love options. They love variety. And so I have this friend that's a sapphire. He's the guy who actually started me in business 30 years ago. And he always felt entitled to my food. And my personality is a personality that if you stick your fork in my plate, I am going to fight you. I am going to fight you, okay? So we're talking 30 years of him and I eating together, okay? So about 10, 15 years ago, I found what is called a freeloader's fork. Have you ever heard of it? Okay, so you remember the car antennas? So imagine the car antennas that go, you know, right? They extend, the speech of metal extends. Well, there's a fork on the end of it. So I bought it for him, right? Because this is, now he figured this out through years of studying me. He figured some things out because he did notice that I would boil when he would put his filthy fork on my plate, touching my food. And it's like right when it comes out, like at least let me have the first bite. Like, can you at least let me have the first bite? But no. He's not going to give me the first bite. He's already digging into my plate. He already has his, but he's digging into mine. So through the years, he figured out how to not provoke rage out of his friend Danny. So then he started to put a bite of his food on his fork and very gently and sweetly put it near my plate with a sweet little smile. So he was giving me an offering. He was bringing me an offering, a gesture of, here, I didn't ask, I don't want a bite of your food. If I wanted your food, I would have ordered your food. I am not interested in your food, right? But, you know, how can you say no to that gesture? So anyway, the bottom line is that sapphires feel entitled to your food. They want to taste what you have. They want to wear some of your clothes. They're going to borrow some of your shoes. They're going to use some of your accessories, and sometimes they return them. That is, of course, if they can find them. Fellow emeralds. Yeah. My fellow emeralds, let's take a cleansing breath. I know exactly what just happened to your blood pressure. Let's just take a real quick deep breath. Just go ahead. Let it all out. Again. I know that the analysis that just went through your head is what in God's earth just happened. What was that all about? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I did not tip our sound technician, Mr. Chad Ketcher, by saying, Mr. Ketcher, would you please put on some dance music so the sapphires can show us how they like to dance? I did not do that. In fact, I was talking about food. Right? That's what's on your notes, because I know you took copious notes. Food. They feel entitled to. Yeah, I know you wrote that down. Your husband is a sapphire. You just figured that out. Scary, isn't it? Like you've been living. Yeah. So anyway, here's what happened. The music came on. And because when they were knitted together in their mother's womb, the great designer on purpose, made them this way. Why? Well, first of all, when music comes on, they just can't help themselves. As you notice, they were all on their feet, synchronized together, dancing as though they were in a club. They forgot that they were at a business, relationship, and finance seminar that completely left their mind. And all of a sudden, the disco ball was going. The bartender was a swishing. and they were at a party. Yep. How does that happen? It happens on purpose. Because I believe the great designer loves their infectious laughter. He put them on the planet to bring great spontaneous joy. He put them on the planet to change the environment, to bring fun and adventure. They are the captains of fun and adventure. He loves to hear them talk. He loves their jokes. He loves their jokes. He loves the funny pictures that pop into their minds at the funniest times. They were designed for this. This is what they're good at. Our school system doesn't understand them. And our school system has been drugging them since 1970. Our school system has diagnosed them with ADHD. When in all reality, it is not ADHD. It's Sapphire. It's not ADHD. It's not ADD. Or whatever other DD that they want to give you. Have you noticed in the last 25 years there are more mental disorders that have been named than ever? It's disgusting. Because people have not been trained to understand each other and the form of each other. Our school system is filled with teachers who got into the teaching profession because they love kids and they want to groom the next generation for success. But instead, Emerald's designed the system, and we're going to pay attention to data. And they're not students, it's data. In order to get funding, we have to have certain numbers. So the teachers are not equipped to understand who is in their classroom and how to talk to them, how to motivate them. Because Sapphires are the greatest motivators in the room. The greatest motivators in the room are Sapphires. They're the most inspirational in the room. That is a spiritual gift they have. The gift of inspiration, the gift of motivation, and the spiritual gift of encouragement. And that drug takes those three things out of them. I believe the world has currently been robbed of world changers because we are drugging them. I believe the world right now that we will have the 50 years, 40 years of people who have been robbed of their natural God-given gifts and talents because man didn't understand. So we created a box and called it ADD and ADHD and put a pill down their throat, which, by the way, the number one side effect is suicidal thoughts. And so the parent hears from the teacher at the parent-teacher conference, your kid talks too much, your kid taps his finger, he loses his homework, he eats his papers. Who has done these things? You tear off the side of the paper, you put it in your mouth, you chew on it. How many of you chew your eraser heads? Chew the end of your pencils? They're very oral people. They like to chew gum. They like to eat. They like to chew on things. It could be anything. Straws. Especially in a movie that is too riveting. You chew on a straw. So they're always chewing on something. Their mouth is always going. So this is the complaint to the parents. The teacher says, your kid has ADHD. Give him a drug. And mom and dad gave the drug. So innovation is lost in a big part of our population. I hate to say it, but they think that's a planned agenda. Because some very wealthy people don't want any competition from your kids. It's true. It's an agenda. There's an agenda. Dumb out. 98% of the population's kids, so these elite ones can rule the world.
No more. Not
anymore. Let's dumb out mom and dad by putting them in front of the TV and Facebook. Wow. Yeah. Let's dumb out mom and dad watching 9 hours a day of media, senseless, mindless entertainment. They're not paying attention. They feel defeated. They feel useless. So when they hear that something's wrong with their kid, they feel like a bad parent. They feel guilty. They feed the drug. It's the easier thing to do. It's a cycle. So, Sapphires, you were born to be fun. You are born innovators, motivators, encouragers. You love people. You love to be around people. Bigger the crowd, better. You love music. You love hobbies. You love to laugh. You like comedies. You love to do wild things. Is your husband around? Is your husband around? So, just because people haven't understood you, that's not an excuse for you to abandon your post. But what's important, you love people, but there's a people that you stay away from. And here's why. Sapphires have weaknesses like every personality has weaknesses. And the weaknesses of a sapphire are disorganization. You get distracted easily. It's organized disorganization. These are the people that showed up with more luggage than everybody else. And why? Because they are feelers. So they don't know how they're going to feel on Sunday, so they can't prepare for Sunday. So they pile a lot of clothes inside of a bag, and Emeralds take a deep breath. So there's clean clothes and dirty clothes inside of the bag. They have no problem bringing dirty clothes with them wherever they go. And why? There's two piles of clothes in the house. One is clean, one is dirty. The smell test is usually the general way they figure out which one is which. Sometimes there's a little bit of both in each pile, okay? They drug a lot of luggage here. They paid the extra bag fee. They didn't care. They throw their shoes in the bag without a shoe bag. So the shoes are in the bag, not wrapped in a bag. And hopefully there are two of the same. Hopefully, there are two of the same shoe inside of there. There's several shoes in there because they like options, right? So there's lots of different shoes that are in there, okay? They throw their toothbrush in there, too, without a bag. It's like the toothbrush is by the shoes, which is by the dirty underwear. And notice they're laughing. Now, this is what I think is the greatest thing that I love the most about Sapphires and working with them. They laugh at their weaknesses. Versus Emeralds that get depressed about them, Rubies that lie about them, and the Pearls that go get counseling about them. They laugh at their weaknesses. Okay? So these people are the best promoters in the room. They have large centers of influence. They love exciting things. They really could care less about money. They always have access to it because they have a large center of influence to borrow from. They love to do spontaneous things. Planning things is not their strength. They need to team up with someone else that likes to plan. Yes. But they're great at starting a party, running an event, collecting a lot of people, recruiting customers, recruiting talent. This is what they're really super good at. And that's the role in which they need to be in. These are not, the career that is not best for them is an engineer or a CPA. That is not the best career for them. It is torture for them. Math was not their favorite class. These are the kids that got in trouble a lot in school. How many got sent to detention a lot? How many of you got sent to the principal's office a lot? Anybody get expelled? Okay. And how many of you made friends with the principal? How many of you are still friends with the principal? Because they have a natural bend towards people. They have a natural interest towards people, all right? But I'm going to tell you something. Because you are naturally good and you have a natural bend and natural talent towards people, what we tend to be good at, we tend to not master. Because we just skate by on our minimums. Because we're a lot better than emeralds are. So you compare yourself to them and they are your gauge, which they are the worst with people. So you're sizing your competition up to the weakest link in the people department. And you're saying, I'm awesome. I don't need to improve in this area. No, you really need to improve in this area. Because until you are able to motivate an emerald, you're not very good at it. Until you're able to motivate even a ruby to have some fun, you're really just hanging out with other sapphires. You're hanging out with other people that like to talk and that like to have fun. Yeah. She says we don't accomplish anything. Now if you just hang out with each other, you're right. If you're just hanging out with each other and we're just having fun, you're just talking, you're not getting things done. You need rubies to get things done. You need the emeralds to do your taxes. Okay? All right. So, in spirit-driven success, first of all, the great success book ever written talks about spiritual gifts. In spirit-driven success, I taught on those spiritual gifts. Your spiritual gifts are inside of spirit-driven success. So if you want to understand your spiritual gifting, let's say this. A gift without training leads nowhere. A gift without training leads nowhere. You're in training here. But Spirit-Driven Success is a 10-CD set. It has the understanding of what you're wired for and what your gifting is. You have spiritual gifts. They're very powerful. And they're biblical gifts. And when you don't know that they're there and what the purpose is of them, either you use them for not so good things or they don't get used at all. They're just haphazard. But part of your purpose is in your spiritual gifting. And your purpose covers what part of your life? All of your life. All of your life. Okay, it's time to move on. Thank you so much. You guys are awesome. Appreciate you. No. Chad, by the way, is a sapphire. Oh my gosh, doesn't that feel so much better? Come on, take a deep breath. Okay, close your eyes. Can you hear the waves? Pull out your lighters. It's time to kumbaya. Yes. Oh man, that beautiful soft rhythm. Pearls really enjoy soft music. We like acoustic music. We like this kind of jazz. We like worship type music. We enjoy the strings. We like symphony, acoustic guitar. We like the great outdoors. We love views, very expansive views, whether it's in Kansas and seeing fields for miles and miles, or staring off into the ocean, or staring into a bonfire. We love the crisp air of the spring, the big humid hug at the beginning of the summer in the Northeast or down in the Caribbean. We like when the first snow begins to hit. We like to be in a place where all four seasons are being able to experience. We love to admire creation. Highly spiritual people who love people, who have long-term loyal relationships with people. In fact, how many of you have had some of the same friends since kindergarten? You're very similar to the Sapphires because watch this. How many of you also have been in touch with your same friends since kindergarten or before? Okay, because these two personalities are very, very similar. One, I like to call it Sapphire Light. Music is also a big part of your life. You love crafts. You like handmade things. You like organic things. When it comes to the people and music, theirs is just everything is loud. Yours is not loud, even keeled. Clothing-wise, you're not going to see a lot of damaged hair over here. If there is damaged hair over here, it's because they are sapphire, more sapphire. It's pearl sapphire in general. But generally, that when we start to go gray, and white, you just let it happen. Right? Why do we let it happen? Because chemicals are really harmful for the environment. And chemicals can cause cancer. And the pores on your head are very large. And when you're putting these chemicals on your head and your hair is wet, which means now when your hair is wet, your head is wet, and then your pores are actually open. So now you have these open pores, and now you're receiving these harsh chemicals straight into your bloodstream and right at your brain. And I don't want Alzheimer's, and I don't want that other thing where I forget who my children are. So therefore, I don't want cancer. I don't want anything harmful inside my body. So this is just what happens when you start to go gray. Some of us have tried henna. It doesn't work as well. But anyway, that's why often we let it go gray. We like to grow our own food, make our own wine perhaps, make our own beer. I might give whiskey a shot. I like whiskey. I discovered it accidentally. It's really good. Anyway, clothing-wise, we like to wear more calming colors, more earthy tones, nothing really super bright. You're generally not going to see women with really long, bright red fingernails in the pearl section. You're probably not going to see acrylic nails either because, again, these are harsh chemicals right on my body. So I don't want those harsh chemicals on my body. We like to have a home that is chemical free. We take lots of supplements to keep our bodies healthy, and we feed our babies vitamins too. And boy, do we like those essential oils. So therefore, those companies target us because we are an easy sell. So even like the websites that we'll build, there's not going to be a bunch of bright colors on there. It's going to be very soft, very clean, very white, very clear, which really represents our home and our clothing and our feel. We love purity. Purity is important. Righteousness is very important. We want to know that you care about people. We are also not motivated by money, but we're motivated by a cause. We are cause-driven. In fact, we're very passionate about a cause, and we will fight for a cause. We are the picketers in the room. We hate GMOs. We hate fast drivers. We hate pushy people. We hate mean people. I'm going to say it again. We hate. You got it. Their causes tend to be either people-oriented causes or they are going to be earth-driven causes, generally. Save the whales, hug some trees, eat some granola, put your Birkenstocks on and go for a walk. If it's a hot day, bring your peppermint oil. It'll cool you off. So the pearls tend to do professions that deal with people, nursing, social workers, working for charities, things of that nature. If these guys work for a school, they are the PE or drama teachers, generally, sometimes English, right? You are going to do home economics, woodworking, stuff that you're going to do with your hands. You like to do things with your hands. You like to be crafty. If you're locked up inside for too long, you go absolutely stir crazy. These people who, how many of you are in business, whether it's part-time or full-time, you have a business, okay? And how many of you that are in business, you tend to give a lot of discounts? In fact, how many of you have often given things away for free? And when you've given things away for free, why do you give those things away for free? They need it. And you have it. They need it. So you just want to give it to them. Why? Because it's a nice thing to do. It's a nice thing to do to give something to somebody. It's a nice thing to do to give something for nothing to somebody. So why do we give this thing away for free? Because they can't afford it, but they could afford their cigarettes and their $300 a month on beer, and they can afford video games, and they can afford their iPhone watch, and they could afford the full data plan, and they could afford Netflix, and they could afford everything, Starbucks every day, and they can afford to eat out at the gas station, the foot-long hot dog. So why do you give it away for free?
Yeah, it feels good.
Oh, ding, 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 ding. Because it what? What feels good? For who?
For me.
Oh, it makes me feel good, which is selfish. We give it away for free because it makes us feel good. Now listen, friends, if you're going to give away all your profits for free, if you're going to, you know, if you are in a business and you are giving your products away for free, that is not a business, that's a non-profit. So you can't complain that the non-profit isn't profitable, because a non-profit is a non-profit. So you can't expect a business to be profitable if you keep giving it away for free. And if you don't charge people tax and freight, you're being charged the tax and freight. Guess what? The grocery store is charging you tax and freight for the mayonnaise, for the kale. I'm sorry, I said mayonnaise. What a terrible thing to say. I'm so sorry. That was so wrong. The veganaise. Wait a second. How many of us make our own mayonnaise? Because we like to make things from scratch. So anyway, the grocery store is charging you tax and freight for, you pay tax on kale. You're like, nah, you don't pay tax on food. Has anybody in here owned a grocery store, ever worked at one? Owned a grocery store? Do you pay taxes on food? Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Who paid the taxes on the food? The farmer had to pay taxes. The truckers had to pay taxes. Hello? That little bunch of kale has been taxed to death. Has been taxed to death. It's a shock that it's even left. Anyway, you've been charged. When you don't pass that on to the client, you are cheating them the value of your product. And if you really value and want them to use the important thing that you are marketing to them or you're offering to them so they can get the benefit of it, whatever the benefit is of the service or the product, then you have to increase the value of that product or service instead of devaluing it by cutting the price down and not charging tax and freight. Then you can be profitable. And then with the profits, do whatever you want with the profits. What does Danny do with the profits? Give them all away. Why? Because I don't want the profits. I'm not motivated by money. I'm not motivated by making money for me. But I am strongly motivated by building another 1,000 homes in Nicaragua to add to the first 1,000 homes we just finished. I am highly motivated for feeding another 59,000 orphans for this next year. I am highly motivated by delivering another 1,000 kids in addition to the 3,900 kids we've already delivered out of the sex trade. I'm highly motivated by taking care of 1,000 elderly. I'm highly motivated by taking care of the widow. That's what I'm motivated by. So, if I had it my way, everything on that back table would be free. But here's what I know would happen. You'd rush that table. What would happen?
No value.
It has no value. That if you don't have any skin in the game, you're not going to open that package, turn it on, and force that thing to learn something, to apply that skill so that you make your money back for what you bought. So if I just gave it to you, you would do nothing with it. This is how people who have lived off of our free website for 13 years and finally just got here. I had a woman a couple years ago who said she'd been listening online for 10 straight years. She came, 10 straight years. Oh, we have thousands of people that do that, thousands of them. 10 years, she finally came. Within 2 years after she came to First Steps, and then she came every single event. Every single event for 2 years, she did not miss a single event. And she said to me, I can kick myself. I would be completely financially independent and wealthy had I didn't wait 10 years to get here. I wouldn't have ended up divorced. I wouldn't end up with all the toxic relationships I have. I wouldn't have ended up with having to fix all the problems that I created in those 10 years had I had come 10 years before. So I understand the desire to give everything away for nothing. I get that. But is that really helping anybody? No, it is not helping anybody. This is why that when we do what we do in Nicaragua, that we're not just giving a poor person a home. First of all, we're giving dignity because they literally are living in trash. They're living in plastic and cardboard and sheets that they've gotten out of a dump site. So we're starting with a level of dignity first, but we're also spending 2 years in education with chickens, teaching them how to multiply, take care of these chickens so that they can make their own food, even start a business with those chickens, whether they're selling eggs or making food and selling it in the market, so that they can be self-sustaining, which, by the way, is the highest form of charity. Not just giving somebody a fish to eat, but teaching them how to fish so they can fish for themselves in absolute dignity and provide for themselves and never be in a place of need again. So what happens with us pearls is our tendency is to be enablers. We tend to enable people and we tend to take other people's consequences away from them. But every human on the planet learns through consequences. That's how we all learn. That's how we were designed to learn, is by consequences. So if somebody takes our consequences away from us, guess what happens to us? We don't learn the lesson. We don't learn the lesson. So if we stand in their way of learning, well, then God will deal with us. And that's what happens to pearls. Your burnout is a beating. And this is often what it looks like. So people take advantage of you because you let them. You teach them through your actions that it's okay to walk all over you. When they say, can I borrow money? You say, sure, no problem. How much do you need? And how many times do you do this to the same person who never pays you back? How many again and again? Come on, raise your hands if you've done this. Again and again and again and again. You believe the lie and the sob story every single time. Every single time you believe it. So we rob the person of dignity because you've taught them all they have to do is cry. All they have to do is create some wild hair story in order for you to believe it. Not using the gift of discernment, but instead feeding their drug habit. No, Danny, I'm not feeding their drug habit. I'm buying milk for their baby, huh? They use the milk money for drugs. Knowing you'd buy the milk, which means you bought drugs. So we keep people stuck in that place, and that's not our job. Our purpose is to help elevate people, to help raise them up, to help them stand on their own. But when we stand in their way, we hurt them and not help them. And the reason why we do this is because we like saving the day. We like the way it makes us feel to rescue, which is pride. We're feeding our own need. We're getting our feeling of importance by being a hero for a day. And that's how you get burned out. You start to get jaded about people. You start to not trust people. You start to hibernate. You start to create walls. You get taken advantage of a lot by the same people over and over again. And then check this out. The most even-keeled, most patient, the most tolerant, the most loving, the most kind people in the room, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, begin to manifest like a principality demonic force. And their body goes flailing, and their tongue starts slithering four-letter words as they slice that person up into tiny little pieces and attack with everything they got. Who has done this? Rubies, watch out. They know where you sleep. This is the funniest part about this equation, because then you go, I'm so sorry, please forgive me, I can't believe I said that, oh Father, please, I'm sorry, I hope I'm not going to hell, and I really didn't mean it, well actually I did mean it, because you need to stop doing this, but I love you, and I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me, because I shouldn't have said it the way I said it. How many of you have done this? Then you feel so guilty and you feel so ashamed, and it takes you like a year to get over it. Why does it take you a year to get over it? Because you're really good at holding bitterness and resentment. How many of you battle with bitterness and resentment? So isolation is your plan. Being by yourself. You get more and more fearful as the years go by. So what do you do about it? Start really helping people. You were put on the planet to help people. Your spiritual gift is a shower of mercy and service, hospitality. Those are your spiritual gifts. Do it with no strings attached. If you're going to give anything, give it to the appropriate people, the ones who truly can't help themselves. And everyone in this country can, with the exception of abused children. Everybody can. They really can. There are so many freaking programs in our country. You can point them in the direction where they can help themselves. When another person calls you, some of you guys are going to get the call this week. And when they call you to borrow more money or to borrow something from you, here's a really simple plan and answer for them. You ready? I'm going to give you a script right now. This one's going to work. You've used it. Good job. It does work. That's so awesome. So here's a script to never get the phone call from the same person for money again or anything. Okay? This is how they'll not call you back, which will take a lot of pressure off of you. And you can maintain a relationship with them, but your relationship is not going to be about money anymore, okay? You're not going to feel used anymore, all right? So it's a ring, ring. They call, hey, you know, they give you, you can just create the sob story all by yourself. You already know what they're going to say. And you're going to say, you know what? I love you, and you need to write this down, and I believe in you. And actually, I've got a confession to make. And they're going to say, what? And right now, they're thinking they're going to get the money from you. What? What's up? I've been hurting you for a really long time. I've actually kept you stuck because of my own selfish desires. And I'm asking you for forgiveness right now because I have stood in the way of your growth, I've stood in the way of you prospering. I've stood in the way of you living the life you truly want to live. So will you please forgive me that every time you've called me, like this time you're calling me now, I have done something to hurt you and your family. And I'm making a commitment that I am never going to do that again. So at this time, yes, I will help you, but my bank account is closed. And I don't want our relationship to ever be about money again. So because I believe in you, I have a resource for you. Do you have a pen and paper handy? Write this down. DannyJohnson.com. Have you ever heard of her? She was a former homeless woman who grew up in a violently abusive, drug-infested home, was molested, was emotionally abused, had a really bad, bad life, and then created a disastrous life on top of her bad life. And when she called her family for help after she was abandoned by her husband, her family would not help her. Not a single one of them, not even a dollar. And she says, I heard from her own mouth that she said that was the best gift that was ever given to her. That was the greatest blessing that could have happened to her at that time in her life. Because it forced her to solve her own problem and never return back to broke again. She started a business from the trunk of her car in a payphone booth. And her first 4 days made $2,000. She teaches people how to do this on her website. She made $250,000 her first year, made her first million by the end of her second year, and she's written several best-selling books that are taught in universities all over the world, and one of which she makes absolutely free to download on her website. She also has a free show daily. If you can't get the show in your area, you could actually watch it on her website for free. There's also a free app. You could actually listen to it for free on the app. So did you write that down? DannyJohnson.com. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you that website now, and I'm going to call you back in 45 minutes after you have watched one show and after you've downloaded the book. And I want you to tell me three things that you're going to apply from the very first program that you watched. I love you. I'm going to pray for you. In fact, can I pray for you now? I'll talk to you in 45 minutes. How many of you can say this? I have had this conversation so many times with family members. And I have a rule in my family because, of course, my family knows what? We do very well. And as soon as it became public that we were building 1,000 homes in Nicaragua, as soon as it became public that we were taking care of orphans, even though we've been doing this for more than 2 decades, nobody knew about it until Secret Millionaire. So as soon as that happened, then here it all came. Can I borrow? Can I have? Can I do this? Will you pay off my car? Will you buy me a house? Okay. And my answer was the same. You know what? I don't want our relationship to be about money. But I have trained hundreds of thousands of people from all over the world on how to succeed. Millions of people have used our materials to succeed. And I'm willing to show you how. So the rule here is every family member gets one shot at borrowing money. So you might want to make sure this is the one shot you want to use. You might want to think that through overnight. Meanwhile, do you have access to the internet while talking to me? Here's a website. Here's some free materials. If you don't like these free materials, the internet is full of options. I am happy to talk with you weekly to help you work this stuff out. And you know, I grew up like you did. There's no difference between you and me. So I'm totally willing to teach you and show you the way just as I've done with my clients. If you're ready, I'm ready. And we can do this together. Guess how many callbacks I get. None. Yeah, there's been very, very, very few family members have ever come here. Very, very, very few. Very, 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 very few. Yep. Why? Yeah, you darn right. Shoo, man. So bottom line is you can only lead a horse to a trough of water. You cannot make them drink. Not everybody wants to be successful. Not everybody wants to solve their problems. But what we pearls have to stop doing is allowing everybody else's crisis to be our crisis. Everybody else's crisis is not our crisis. Got it? Okay. So the spiritual gift of mercy has been used against you. Now take that gift of mercy and service and truly show mercy and serve by helping to get them to step up instead of keeping them stuck and always needing you to rescue them. So step out of pride and into true humility, which is stepping aside and allowing them to learn on their own. Make sense? Cool. Okay. By the way, how do you find out what somebody's personality gem is? Form. You form them. So when you're forming a sapphire and you ask the question, what do you like about what you do? Generally, the answer is going to be something about people, or they're going to say the word fun. Generally, seriously, what do you like about what you do? Oh, it's fun. Well, what's fun about it? The people. That's typically what's going to be their answer. Over here with the pearls, their answer when you form them and you ask them what they do, what you like about what you do, they say, I just like helping people. I really enjoy helping. It's just, I like serving. So it has to do with serving and helping people. Within a sentence or two, they're going to mention that particular thing, and that's how you know that you possibly have a primary pearl on your hands. All right? Let's move on over to our emeralds. Mona, where are you? Can I? Thanks. Yes. Took me to my first Metallica concert. Did you hear what I just said? My first. That must be a second one, must be on the way. Last year, I was terrified. Completely terrified. Thank God that we had some very close family friends who was another emerald with his two sons and then my husband. They literally surrounded me. All of them were all around me, and we're all like this because there was mosh pits all around us, people crowd surfing. I'm going, just screaming, praying like crazy, wanting to cast some stuff out of people. Like, it was nuts. But when it was all done, I was like, wow, that was wild. but now I like that music. Okay, so emeralds. We first start with that classical music because classical, techno, and heavy metal are all very similar. They're very complicated, complex, multiple different layers, lots of different instruments and counts and all that kind of stuff, very mathematical. Actually, music itself is mathematical, which is wild, isn't it? Anyway, emeralds, for some reason, have the ability to have that kind of intense music playing, and it helps them focus. Which is crazy. It stresses these guys out. They can't think to that kind of music at all. They literally can't think. It like paralyzes the brain. But emeralds, for some reason, again, it's some kind of electronic type music, puts them in a tunnel, and they're able to just. Oh, my husband loves working to that kind of music and techno. Like, that's crazy. Guess what else they like? AM talk radio. They like to hear people fight and argue. That's like profound. Like, they have the ability to understand what people are screaming at each other about. Who here likes AM talk radio? That's amazing. They like debates. So emeralds. Okay, so clothing for emeralds typically is going to be generally dark and dated. They are shoppers that like to find the best deal, but they enjoy quality. And why quality? Because it lasts longer. So they take care of things. They are the best maintainers in the room. They maintain everything. So when I talked about the jacket that is, 25 years old, they have jackets in their closet that are 25 years old as well. Shoes that are 26 years old, they have shoes that are 26 years old as well. They are the people that drive their cars until it just cannot possibly be driven anymore. And why? Because they've maintained the vehicle. They are the ones that actually get it serviced on time. Right? They make sure that there's quality work that is done it. They make sure and research whoever the mechanic is. They make sure and have a relationship with that person is so that there's no funny business that's going on inside of it. Really, they actually research all the bills. So the bill comes, the invoice comes, and what do? We check it. They don't. They do. They find a mistake, but they won't call. They won't call. They're like, it's okay. It's okay. They hate confrontation. They absolutely hate confrontation. You actually like it. Yeah, they like confrontation. Emeralds do. Sadly, in some cases. emeralds, so their clothing, and it's not like it's necessarily out of style so much. It's usable, it's functional, that's what it is. It's about function. So fashion to an emerald is function, is really what it is. And there's no reason to get rid of something if it is still functional. If it's still functional, it's still in good condition, and we repair things, right? So we repair things. So it's Sharpie on a pair of boots, Sharpie on a belt if necessary, unless it's like thoroughly thrashed and unusable, which we'll still use it in other ways and other places. We may not wear it to work, but we might wear it in the yard, right? So we just keep using things over and over and over and over and over again. What's wrong? You feeling a little naked? Why is she laughing? She's laughing at him. Yes. You both are emeralds? That's such a perfect marriage. It's really perfect. Emeralds really, 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 in fact, it ministers to us when things are organized. It literally ministers to us. It is like a love song to us. It's romance to us. When you load the dishwasher correctly, it is a love song to us. It says, I love you. Yes, the dishwasher. Literally the dishwasher. Things are folded correctly. Things go in their right place, right? For example, the pots and pans. You know what I'm saying? So let's use frying pans, for example, right? The largest one goes on the bottom, and then the next size smaller, then the next size smaller, and then the next size smaller, and then the next size smaller. Pay attention, sapphires. I'm teaching you something. So we're the only ones that do that.
Can you teach my pearl husband how to stack
the dishes? If you have not been able to teach your husband how to stack the dishes properly, what in the world makes you think I will be able to do that? How long have you been attempting to teach the tiger to not hunt? Do you understand? Are you hearing me? This is what the emeralds do, is they expect everyone to be like them and to understand us. And because order, by the way, is a godly trait, he's a God of order, we have the expectation that everyone else should be orderly. But we're the only ones that were given the mandate for order. That's our job on the team. Order and timeliness. That's our job. That's our gift. Diligence is our gift. We're diligent. Have you ever had to work on diligence? How many of you have never had to work on diligence? Watch this. How many of you sapphires have been beating yourself up trying to be diligent? Which means they're better than you. You're like, how are they better than me? They're not diligent like I am. Because they're working on it, and you're not. Yours is a natural gift. How could you judge somebody for a gift you receive for free? How can you judge somebody? I'm going to say it now to you, sapphires. You naturally talk to people. It's natural and it's easy. Natural and it's easy. It's natural and easy for you to be in groups of people. How can you judge somebody that can't do it or doesn't like to do it or isn't easy for them? You can't judge people for a gift you have received. So we are naturally diligent. We don't have to think about it. It is in our DNA to be diligent, and it is our job on the team to be diligent. We are detail-oriented people. We see details without even trying. Without even trying. And then when we have the sapphires in our life who do not see details, like the crumbs on the counter, that you asked your sapphire son to do his chores in the kitchen. His chore was to wipe down the counter and clean out the sink. You come in and you see what? You see crumbs like the one that's on the floor right there, exactly. And you don't even have to try to see the crumb. You just saw it. Which is a gift that you were born with. A gift, a natural gift that you were born with. So you come in and you see that your son has left what on the counter? Crumbs. And what's in the sink? Dirty dishes or food stuck to the side of the sink. Rags piled up, clumped up, and wet. Mildewy, just all in a ball. Not even squeezed out, just sitting there right on the sink. Right? Because, and look, you scream at him. You put his nose in the corner. You take something away. How many times do I have to tell you? I've shown you a dozen times how to do this right. Why do you insist on not following directions? Guys do that at work too. And why? We're ignorant. We don't realize that we have a sapphire that we ask to do a detailed job. If you want a detailed job done, you ask an emerald. If you want it done your way, do it yourself. And don't murmur, bitch, and complain. If you want it done your way, you do it yourself. If saving time matters to you, then you need to weigh what you're asking for. So I have to tell you, my primary is an emerald. I was born an emerald. That's my primary personality. Okay, so I was the little girl that had all my underwear totally organized and perfectly folded. I had all my socks perfectly folded, perfectly organized. I had a little Hello Kitty set that my grandmother gave me. I counted every single one of the papers every single day, took an inventory. I hid it in my closet away from my sisters, and I went and did the inventory in the morning and at night to see if my sisters touched it. I'm the kid that got out of bed and made my bed. I'm the kid that took my clothes off at night and put them in the hamper. I'm the one that got to do the laundry because I did it right. I'm the one that did the dishes because they would be clean. I was the organized person in the house, and a house with not a lot of other organized people. And to be honest with you, to my father's credit, Dan, that raised me, he also was an emerald. I just figured this out last summer. He was constantly on my butt pointing out every mistake that I ever made. He had really high standards for me, pressed me to go to college, told me every time that I, you know, if I got a B, I was a failure. Didn't pay attention to the A's I got, just paid attention to what was below the A. And if it was a bunch of A's and an A minus, forget about it. That still wasn't good enough. His standards are really high. And why? Because he loved me. I didn't receive it that way as a kid. I received it as he was constantly putting me down. But the perception was that he hated me until last summer when I went, oh my gosh. He was an emerald and I didn't even know it. So he taught me how to clean. I'm really grateful that he taught me how to clean. I'm really grateful that he taught me about detailed work because he took the natural emerald that I was and helped to fine-tune my detailed abilities to a much higher level than if he had not helped to groom that thing that was inside of me. So we tend to, as emeralds, have a standard of perfection. Let me just ask this question. How many of you are perfectionists? Oh, yeah. Yep. And as perfectionists, we have a standard of everyone else being a perfectionist. And the fact is that no one is perfect. Not a single person on the planet is perfect. And so we have to adjust. To be honest with you, perfection is a weakness. It's not our strength. It's a weakness. And because of our detail-oriented, because of our diligence, because of our perfectionist goal, we spend a lot of time wasting time instead of getting things done. So we want it to be just right. And we are also the people that will do a lot of research before we make a decision. Because we hate failing and we don't like making mistakes, because if you make a mistake, then you're not perfect. So when perfection is our compass, we get things done slow and we often miss the opportunity because we spent too much time thinking, weighing out all the costs, thinking a little bit more, running some more projections, running a few, running it backwards, running it forward, taking one number out, then figuring it this way. And then what happens if it happens in 5 years, but what happens if 4.5? Who has done this? We do this again and again and again, and we miss opportunity because we spend too much time in research and thinking. So our dishwasher, if it's not perfect, we like blow a gasket. When the dishes are not done correctly, like stacked up perfectly, we blow a gasket and we like attack. Like, how many times do I have to tell you? There is one word that we use that causes people to instantly feel interrogated and they're going to jail. Just one word. It's very often used. It's the beginning of many of our sentences. It's three letters. What's the word?
Why?
Why? What happened? You know why? Because you live with emeralds? Why? Why is the word why? Why do they say why? Is that what the question was? She's asking why? We want an answer for everything. We want an explanation. We want to understand why you have failed us again. We send 17-point long emails that no one wants to answer. They skip our email. They see it's from us. They don't even open it. They know they were written a book. Detail after detail, 17 points, instructions filled with every possible detail because we want to see you succeed. We want to make sure that you could do it correctly because we believe that you can, at least we do right now, until you fail us about 6 or 7 times, then we're out of grace, we're out of patience, and I'm done with you. Now I build a wall against you, and I'm just not even going to put the effort and time into it anymore. So isolation is also our retaliation. Isolation is our retaliation against the other humans that we live with. We cut people out, we cut them off, because we expect for them to be perfect. Perfect. So stop writing 17-point emails, number one. And just adjust the why question to, would you be willing to help me out? I really, really want to be able to work really well together, not with you, because that is an attack. I would really like for us to work really well together. And I have a very hard time understanding a lot of things. So I'm kind of slow in this area of communication. So I'm wondering if you would be willing to help me out. I sent an email. It was probably too long. Please forgive me. I was trying to be a little too thorough, and I totally failed you in that. You're a busy person. You got a lot of things on your plate. Can you tell me exactly what part of the email would have been easier for me to send at first? Like, how many chunks would you like versus the 17 points I sent? Lean your ear into understanding. It's only through the understanding we can build a bridge. When you ask questions of why didn't you, why, you're interrogating. The person's already in trouble. They're already defensive. Case closed. You're right. They're wrong. They think you're a jerk. You think they're a jerk. No trust. But when you lean your ear in to say, I really want us to be able to work really well together, and I think that we've got a good baseline to start with, I'm wondering if you could help to teach me how I can better communicate with you so that we can move together collectively towards a common goal. Edify them. Encourage them. Point out the things that you like about them, even if you have to lie. You will start to believe what you're saying. You will. Because here's the deal. The reason why you don't like them is because they're not like you. The reason you don't like them is because they're not like you, which means you think much higher of yourself than you ought. Which is arrogance. Humble yourself and learn why the tiger likes to hunt. Why the sapphire likes music. Learn what makes the pearl tick. And then talk to them in their language. Serve them how they are to be served. And you will develop a powerhouse team of people that will support you, work together with you, and not purposely try to tick you off. Trust is the biggest challenge that an emerald has in developing. Even though, and here's why, how many of you are judged as, how many of you get judged by people for being cold-hearted and insensitive? How many of you have been told that? You're cold-hearted and insensitive. You're not. You're not trusted, not because you're not ethical. You're highly ethical, highly integrous. But it's because of how we communicate. Because the way we communicate largely makes everyone uncomfortable. And it's an attack, pointing out what's wrong. Remember I said the first 3 chapters of How to Win Friends and Influence People like showed me why I was homeless? What were the first three chapters? Criticize. Don't criticize, condemn, and complain. Guess what the weaknesses are of an emerald? criticizing, condemning, and complaining. Those are the weaknesses that an emerald has. Criticizing, condemning, and complaining, and people can't live around that. They don't want to be around it. They don't like being around people like that. So it's a simple thing to fix. And guess what? Still to this day, 27 years later, guess what? I have to catch myself and I have to focus on not complaining. I have to focus on not criticizing. I have to focus on not condemning, because it is natural. Emeralds naturally think negative first. Your spiritual gifts are discernment and wisdom. You know there's an upside and a downside to everything. Your head is not in the clouds. But if our head can sit anywhere, it naturally sits in condemnation, criticism, and complaining. That if we are not wise and careful, our head will be there most of the time, and therefore that's why people don't trust us. Even though high ethical standards, we have a bend towards righteousness. But at the same time, that righteousness goes to self-righteousness, which is judgment. And it's not our place to judge. So if people feel judged, they don't feel safe around us. So communication is our weakness. It's not our strength. And that's if we continue to stay the way we are. But none of us were designed to stay the way we are. None of us are supposed to stay the way we are. An emerald has amazing talents and abilities that they bring to the table. There's a lot of technical skill over here. Not in everybody, but how many of you are very technical? How many of you are good problem solvers? Okay. Good planners, record keepers, number crunchers, data analysis. Does every business need this? Does every family need this? Yes. We are so needed. The thing that bridges the gap is communication skills. That's it. Communication skills. I had an emerald very many, many, many years ago who was a seismologist. Do you sapphires know what a seismologist is? It's someone that studies earthquakes, and they attempt to create technology to alert people in advance that there are earthquakes. So it was a seismologist many, many years ago. Obviously, he's an emerald, right? Seismologist. So he came through First Steps in Dynasty for years and years and years, and this is what I watched happen to this man. This man went from a cubicle as a seismologist, just another seismologist within the government, to the highest possible position in his field. Not by learning more about seismology, but by studying people. So one of the first things, his name was Woody, one of the first things he did after his first steps to success is he went back and he started to form his coworkers, of which many he worked with for 20 years, and they never had a verbal conversation. Everyone communicated through the computers, sitting right by each other. Never had a conversation. So he pulled everybody in to a lunchroom and just said, "Ladies and gentlemen, hi, my name is Woody. I personally want to apologize. I have been incredibly insensitive. I've isolated myself. And it appears that I might look to you like I don't give a rip about who you are. That's really not my heart, but I'd love for us to learn how to work even better together." So we started engaging conversations, started forming people and getting interested in their family, their work, their recreational life, started using gems and figuring out which gem was in those cubicles. And the guy had massive breakthrough in technology and innovation because he got these guys to collaborate with each other versus everyone running separately on their task list. They saved time, and they had massive breakthrough, and they saved the organization millions upon millions of dollars, which is how he was promoted up to a VP level. That's what happens when an emerald can learn to communicate. So what can happen when an emerald can learn how to communicate? You're completely unstoppable. We love to follow instructions. So guess what your instruction is leaving here? You need to study gems and you need to learn the language of everybody in the room. So, for example, let's just pretend like you speak German. The rubies speak English. The sapphires, if there was a language that fits sapphire, what language would it be?
Italian.
Spanish. Spanish. Okay, what about, what language? They are romancers. French. Okay, so German or Japanese, right here. German fits really well. Okay. German or Japanese is pretty much why it's a very rhythmic, right?
Klingon,
yes, Klingon language. How many of you vote for Klingon? Okay, so imagine if you speak Klingon. They speak English, they speak Spanish, they speak French. Okay, you're heading to the deep places in a small little village in Mexico where there is no English signage, you have no cell coverage, you have no maps, you have nothing. You're dropped out of the air straight into a city with a foreign language. How are you going to find a bathroom and a beer?
Body language.
Pictures.
I said you have nothing. How many of you say there's a language barrier? You're going to have a very hard time communicating to someone that does not speak or understand your language and that you do not speak or understand their language. Can you see the barrier I'm talking about? That's the same thing that's happening in your house. You have sapphires in your house. You have rubies in your office. You have pearls in your office. You're talking to them as an emerald. You're trying to make them into an emerald. You're trying to force the, hello? You're trying to force the tiger to not hunt. We're trying to force something that was made in its form on purpose with strengths and weaknesses, and you're trying to make the weaknesses go away. Instead of understanding, oh, I keep pressuring them to confront the issue, and they refuse to do it. If you want an issue to be confronted, who should do it? A ruby and some emeralds can do it. If you're an emerald ruby, you can do it. If you're an emerald pearl, you really struggle with it and you hate making decisions. You take a really long freaking time to make decisions. You know how I freaking know this? Do you know how I know that it takes forever for us to make decisions? Because I'm you, emerald pearl. Rubies think I'm ruby all the time. They fight me constantly. No, Daddy, you're just in denial. Like, okay. Seriously, they tell me all the time, no, you're told, I know she's a ruby. She's such a ruby. Like, The reason why they think I'm a ruby is because I know how to speak ruby. The sapphires think I'm a sapphire because I speak sapphire. The pearls picked me up. The emeralds picked me up when I said number one, number two, number three, number four, follow directions. Here's the instructions. If you don't do this, this is what happens. If you do this, this is what happens. So I know that your notes are totally put together nice and beautiful and you have the four quadrants perfectly organized. I know there are some footnotes and some of you pulled out some highlighters and there's a few asterisks and some places that you wanted to note. You noted the time so that when you get the MP3, you know exactly where to be able to fill in the blanks. So ladies and gentlemen, at this time, it is time for me to move on. Thanks so much for your time and attention. My bottle of water. so much power. These rubies are powerful. They came out of the womb powerful. They're strong. They're mighty. There's nothing impossible for a ruby. Nothing. Quitting is not an option. They don't even have to know where they're going, but they're running there. They wake up and they run, rush everywhere. Everywhere they're rushing. They rush to the shower, they rush out of the shower, they rush to the car, they rush and eat breakfast. Maybe. Some of them skip breakfast. How many of you skip breakfast? How many of you skip lunch? How many of you eat all three meals at the end of the day? All at once, sometimes in one big bite. They are intense, beautifully intense. They are born warriors. Warriors. Yes. They're winners. You tell them that they can't. They not only will, they will tell you that they have already done it. Because second place is the first loser. They're very competitive. If they do not have a challenge in front of them, they will create one. They have a secret love-hate relationship with chaos. How do we know? They're always creating it. They're always creating it. They have a love-hate relationship with stress. They put themselves in high stress situations. They put themselves in high pressure situations. They're the easiest people in the room to manipulate. You're like, what? The easiest people in the room to manipulate is rubies. And people know it. People know it. The people around you know it. Two things. What do I mean that you're easy to manipulate? What do you mean, Mom? I dare you. That's what he said. I dare you. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't make that happen. The two easiest ways to manipulate you is with money and recognition. The two easiest ways to manipulate you is with money and recognition. You dangle a recognition award in front of your nose, you're already running towards it. You dangle money in front of your nose, you're already running towards it. You will sacrifice everything for those two things. Money and recognition. And then as soon as you win the prize, it's empty. You're already on to the next thing. You don't celebrate your wins. You sacrifice everything to win. And when I say everything, everything. An unrefined ruby will lead themselves to a nervous breakdown, destruction, and burnout. A natural unrefined ruby will lead themselves to destruction and burnout. Why? man, you guys were gifted with confidence. You were gifted with faith. Like just a high level of confidence, a high level of faith. You have a high level of believing in the impossible. The Emeralds do not have a high level of believing in the impossible. They generally only believe in the possible, that which they can see. So you get frustrated when people don't believe in the impossible pitch you're pitching to them. But that's a gift you can't judge people for. You're risk takers. That's a gift. That's a gift, risk taking. And you can't judge people who are risk adverse because this is your gift. Winning is your gift. That's your gift. Being first is your gift. So you can't judge people for being slow. What'd you say? What did you just say?
Can we push them out?
Can we push them out of the way? Somebody give your fellow high a high five. You know you're thinking the same thing. She had the balls to say it. Which brings me to this. Rubies are very bold. Bold, 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 bold. Mm-hmm. But you have a price tag on your head, and you have an award that is continuously manipulating you. You say yes to a lot of things you shouldn't and that don't have time to do the things you should. Because you filled your time with what's going to get you recognition and make you money and make you feel like you're winning. You size yourself up with competition that is a little less than you. So you're always winning. So you stack the deck in your odds. Stack the deck in your favor. So you can be the best. You're like, oh, crap. That's what an unrefined Ruby does. You guys remember, how many of you played sports? That's the only reason why the school system had it. So you would show up. You quickly found out that school was a complete waste of time. You'd rather go make money. So they manipulated you through recognition and awards for sports. Being the best, being the fastest, being the strongest. That's how they got you. And that's how the world is still getting you. So we sacrifice our whole lives for money and recognition. We say, yes, yes, I'll be the PTA president. Yes, I'll be the soccer coach. Yes, I will be the president of the whatever thing that's going on at the other school. Yeah, I'll take care of that. Got it. Done. Yesterday. How many of you do this? So then what does it lead to? Stressed out. And when we're stressed out, what happens? Say what?
Not nice to our kids.
Not nice. Say who what?
We're not nice to our kids.
Who?
We.
Who?
Us.
Who?
I'm
not nice.
I am not nice.
Two. How does that feel to own that? She said.
I said, I get stressed out when I.
I am not
nice to my children when I am stressed out because I put too much on my plate when I should have said no.
That was humility right there. That was humility right there. Proud of you. That was leadership right there. So you're going to call your kids tonight. What are you going to say? I'm sorry, please forgive me. I think I might have painted the picture that you were not important to me when you are my everything. So we get stressed out. We then have no patience for everybody at home. How many of you have been divorced at least once? Because we run so hard and so fast at the things that we think we can control. We sacrifice the relationships that are important to us. We treat everybody at work better than we treat those at home. We come home and we're drained. We snap. We fight because we were born fighters. Rubies are born fighters. And depending on the environment of your childhood, that determines what kind of a fight, healthy or not healthy, fighting for the wrong things versus fighting for the right things, depending on the childhood. So we tend to neglect what's most important to us, convincing ourselves that it's really not that important. We convince ourselves that we don't like our spouse anymore. We convince ourselves that it's just kids these days. They're out of control. I don't know how to deal with them. I'm not good at it. Where's my bottle of wine? Right? So we find coping mechanisms. This is what births affairs. This is what births nervous breakdowns, suicide, depression. The most confident people in the room, born with the gift of confidence, struggle with depression. How many of you struggle with depression? Isn't that crazy? The most confident people in the room. And why? Somebody's been dangling the carrot of money and recognition in your face your whole life. And you've been manipulated to buy. Buy, 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 to win, 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 win. So now you're under all this pressure, 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 and you're manipulated by fast, 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 now, 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 now. So you've been squeezed on all sides, but deep down inside, none of that stuff brings happiness or joy. None of it. Amen. None of it. Every time you have a win in those places, it's not a win. It's sour. It's sour. It's gravel in your mouth. It's not sweet. It's bitter. Because the longing inside of you is for right relationships. Yes. And winning in the marriage, winning with the kids. Having some peace versus constantly running everywhere. So a ruby who is unrefined cycles of production, non-production, production, non-production, production, non-production, production, non-production. And if they do this long enough, they're going to morph themselves into a pearl. And for a season, they stop setting goals because they don't want to fail, because failing is the ultimate. So they lower their goals. They isolate themselves. They pull out. They get numb. They have no life, no power, no intensity coming out of their eyes anymore. Now it's just docile. Neutered. When you were born to win, born to fight for what's right, warriors, easily manipulated by money and recognition. Now that your eyes are open, no more. So a refined ruby will learn the secrets of time. And how to get time to work on your side instead of against you. A refined ruby will learn to delegate and train up other people that will run harder and faster than you can. A refined ruby will come to the understanding that they're going to get farther faster with a team than they ever will by themselves.
Yes.
The tendency of an unrefined ruby is to say, forget it, I'll take care of it on my own.
Yes.
A refined ruby will learn to recruit talent who is better than them and allow that person the freedom and the space to fail. Did you hear what I just said? Allow them the freedom and the space to fail. Allow them the freedom and the space to fail. You're like, you want me to create freedom and space for someone to fail? Yeah.
It's very hard. Yeah.
Why do I want freedom and space for someone to fail? So they can learn. Because they will be self-sustaining. And independent versus dependent on you. That's how leaders are developed. That is how leaders are developed. But see, unrefined rubies are trying to catch everybody's failure before it drops. So you got to let them learn on their own, and you're there to encourage them and say, dude, I remember when. I know exactly how you feel, but guess what? What did you learn out of it? Awesome. Give it another shot. Give it another shot. Give it another shot. Give it another shot. You got this. So then you as the leader is doing nothing besides encouraging the team to take their next shot. You're encouraging them to learn on their own and not pouncing on them when they've had a failure or taking it away from them when they can't do it right. So the secrets of time. It's impossible for you to do it all on your own. Your goals are enormous. They're huge. They're massive. You want to change the world. So you have to recruit and develop a team in order to do it. You have to recruit and develop a team in order to do it. Which means you have to learn how to motivate that team. You have to know what makes that team tick. You also have to have the right players in the right place. And that doesn't mean everybody is a ruby on the team. Because if you want customer retention, you need a pearl for customer retention. You need a pearl for customer retention. If you want to make sure that the company's going to make money and be profitable, you need an emerald. If you need someone to rally, inspire, and encourage and motivate the troops, you need a sapphire. And if you need someone to get something done fast with results but not perfect, you need a You need a team. You need a team. You need a team. Stop competing with other people and start competing with your last best. Stop competing with other people and start competing with your last best score. Compete with yourself. And a ruby with accountability is unstoppable. Let me prove it to you. How many of you ever had a coach that about made you puke?
Well,
What did that coach do to you? Pushed you beyond your limit. They pushed you beyond what you thought you could do. And when you puked is where you found the first limit, the first breakthrough. Until the next puke. You will never pull the best out of yourself. You will never pull the best out of yourself, and many Reubens often work by themselves. You will never pull your best out of yourself, ever. But accountability will pull the best out of you because you don't want to look bad. Why do Reubies want to work by themselves? Because they're annoyed by the slowness of others, and B, they don't like competition that's better than them. Alpha dogs. They don't want someone telling you what to do. You don't want anyone telling you what to do. So you rather just work by yourself. And again, you're never going to get to where you want to go by yourself. And you will never have your best pull out of you by yourself, ever. You will be mediocre. You'll be the mediocre version of you if you're by yourself. You definitely need to hire a strong coach. When two Reubies need to work together, that could be a disaster. And here, this is why. If two unrefined Reubies work together, it's a constant fight and contention and strife. Two unrefined, three unrefined, four is a war. Trust me. Unrefined Reubies fight. All it takes is one refined Reuby in the bunch to pull the best out of the rest. So the question is, are you fighting for and with the wrong thing? So, Reubies, the secrets of time. It's really important. Really important to learn the secrets of time. Everyone has 1,000 questions, and I love you, Diane Mead. I love you. So listen up. If you master the secrets of time and you put yourself in accountability with people, strong people, there's nothing you cannot do. And you'll work less and get more done. You'll work less and get more done. I have helped more Reubies work less and get more done, double, quadruple, created millionaires without them working more. Reubies driven by money, they'll work 24 hours a day to get it. I've helped many Reubies cut their hours back and increase their income at the same time. And here's why. When you're working too much, you're not thinking clearly and you're not working at your best. You're actually working in your weakest points. So when you're not taking a day of rest, you're working in your weakness. When you're not shutting your brain off so that it can recharge, could you imagine not charging your cell phone? How well does your phone communicate if it has a dead battery? Most of you have been running on fumes for years. You're running on fumes. Your brain is just fumes. Your physical energy is just fumes. So when you completely drain yourself, you can't possibly make wise decisions. You can't possibly have the energy that it takes to keep going. So this is the cycle that you feel depressed, you feel low, you feel tired, you're exhausted. How many of you do this? So that's simply because you're not recharging. So being here this weekend is a recharge. This is part of a recharge. This is part of a refresh. You're plugging into a power source that's refreshing your brain, reigniting motivation, clearing things up in your head, moving things out of your heart. How many of you that's been happening to you this weekend, okay? So that's why things like, this is part of accountability, by the way. This is part of accountability that you'll have goals leaving here. And when I see your face 4 weeks from now at creating a dynasty, yeah, you're going to look at me and say, I made a commitment. Did I follow through with it? Crap, I hope she doesn't call on me. And it's that creating a dynasty where I get to touch you a lot and talk to you a lot and I'm actually in with you a lot versus on a stage. I'm actually working inside of groups with everybody. So between now and then, if you understand the secrets of time, if you master that one skill, you'll get a lot done with a little bit of time. For example, with me, I told you yesterday that I had a nervous breakdown at 25 and I had a heart attack at 24. And what was I doing? I was chasing money and recognition. I was totally driven by these things. The Ruby in me totally trained up in my childhood, big time. Abuse will do that to somebody, where it makes you aggressive, right? So, and that's what I was told I needed to be in order to be successful, right? That's the picture that someone sold me. So I spent that part of my life in my early 20s trying to be something I clearly didn't have the energy for, that I currently, I wasn't built for. It wasn't in me. So the place where Ruby came out of me was basketball. I broke a lot of people's ankles. It was just aggression, right? I had a lot of anger, and so I took it out on other chicks and sometimes some guys. But anyway, whoever was on the court. Sadly, it's not a good thing. So anyway, so I ended up burning out several times. Like every year I had a major burnout. Every year wanting to commit suicide. Every year feeling guilty as a mom. Every year feeling like a failure as a wife. Just failing everywhere and not having any confidence to do anything. Until someone clobbered me over the head and told me that I couldn't close them if my life depended on them. I'm like, dude, give me a break. If you're breathing, I got a 9 out of 10 shot closing your butt. Seriously. He's like, no, you have nothing I want. Your life sucks. You and your husband hate each other, and it shows. You don't know your kids. Someone else is raising them. You haven't had a vacation in years. It's written all over you. Your life sucks, and I don't want it, and that's what you're selling, is a crappy life. Like, I started bawling in a Chili's restaurant, just like, how did you know that? First time I ever met the guy. He didn't know anything about us. He knew nothing. I thought, you know, no one could see what was going on behind closed doors. No one knew what was happening in my life. It was a disaster. So I asked him, I said, what do you recommend? And he says, you guys need to go on a long weekend 4 times a year. I'm like, can I bring my girlfriend? Because there is no, we're going to go to prison. If he and I go somewhere together for 3 days, one of us is going to prison. Whoever is living is going to prison. That's literally what I said. Can I bring my girlfriend, Jerry? Because we're going to kill each other. There's just no way. He's like, no, just the two of you. I don't care if you go camping. You don't have to spend a lot of money. Just go 3 days by yourselves. Spend time getting to know each other again. I already know this fool, and I do not want to be married to him anymore. I do. I already know this fool. I don't want to be with him. I'm not even attracted to him anymore. Ew. Seriously, he disgusted me. So, nope, you guys do that, and you need to hire someone to teach you how to manage your time. You need to cut your hours way back. Like, how many hours? You should be working no more than 20 hours a week. I'm like, my business is going to fail if I work 20 hours a week. Well, then so be it. At that point, leaving that conversation, I just went, my life sucks. And I guess people can see it. And I don't care if I lose my reputation. I don't care if I lose my business. I don't care if I go broke. I don't care if I lose my house. I know I won't lose my cars because I pay cash for them. I don't care. This life sucks. So I cut my hours down to 20, tripled my income in a year. I was wasting 80 hours a week, friend. I was wasting 80 hours a week. And guess what? You possibly are too. Yeah. You possibly are wasting a lot of hours every single week thinking, doing, 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 accomplishing nothing, thinking you are, feeling like you're never getting ahead. Make sense? Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Anyway, you're welcome. So, bottom line is that all the weaknesses that we have are unrefined weaknesses. We have strengths that are also unrefined. We all need each other, and we all need to recruit each other to work together and stop expecting each other to be something that we're not. We cannot expect a pearl to go faster. My husband uses this analogy, and it is the best analogy I've ever heard. And he says it's pushing a string. And he goes like this. You cannot push a string. And for a Ruby, it's absolute torture. So you have to recognize they have their own pace. And it is a pace that is a very valuable pace. You cannot rush them. You rush them, they stop. Which means they get slower. Is that true? Yes. You rush them, they go slower. So you have to stop expecting a tiger to not hunt. You cannot buy a lion for a house pet. You have to recognize what the form is that has been designed in the room and embrace that form. Embrace the strengths, and your strengths cover their weaknesses. Your strengths cover their weaknesses. They're not supposed to have your strengths. You're supposed to have your strengths. They're supposed to have their weaknesses. It's a perfect match. Do you understand? It's a perfect match in the family. It's a perfect match at the office. So start motivating according to what matters to each one of these personalities. What makes them tick? Now you know what makes them tick. So you can reduce your stress and pressure by having expectations that are totally crazy, nuts, and stupid. Fair enough? How many of you learned something? Can you use this information at home?
Yes.
Will you use this information at work?
Yes.
By the way, each gem spends differently. Each gem has sex differently. Each gem uses toilet paper differently. No joke. No joke. Each gem eats differently. These guys inhale their food, don't even know if they tasted anything. Who does that over here? These people sing and hum while they eat. Who sings and hum? Nom, 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 nom. Man, that's good. These people just ingest every morsel, and they eat slowly. They chew their food 26 times because it's good for digestion. These people hate having their food touch each other. Those plates that had the four sections is for the emeralds. They do not like mixing, pairing. They mix everything together all in one goulash mess. Sex. Hot, passionate, sweaty, and do me first. Anywhere, any place, anytime. Golf courses, the Mile High Club. McDonald's. We like a little bit of romance, a nice bottle of wine, some candles, some rose petals, some smelly things, a nice hot bath with some oil. And we will pretend to be that massage therapist. Well, hi, Mr. Johnson. Please just disrobe and lay right here. There is a time and place for everything. The dishes are done. The house is clean. The kids are not in bed but asleep. Let's go. There's so much to learn. Yeah, Hot Marriage Secrets is where we talk a lot about sex. So it's a very important conversation. Very important conversation. A lot of religious people are in a lot of bondage with that conversation. They really are. And I love it that when I have Pastor and his wife, first time I actually had a sit-down conversation with this beautiful couple who has 9 children, so they've done it at least 9 times. But Dave, I'm sitting in a in a forest in Israel. It's our first day. And he tells me, yeah, we went to Hot Marriage Secrets and, well, the sex is even better now. I'm like, this is from a pastor. I'm like, wow. I love it. I freaking love it. Anyway. I'm going to stop my spontaneous conversating. So, Jen, this thing that's handed to me, I'm not doing this right now. I'm sorry. Anyway, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a dinner break, and you're going to come back here about 7:15. Be back here at 7:15. Before you leave, I need you to put the room back together. Wait, hold on. Sorry, time out. I screwed up and I lied to you. Accidentally. Tonight, there's going to be a breakout section for those who are in the home business profession. So if those of you who have a home-based business, you're a part of the direct sales industry, there's a special segment for you tonight. And we're going to help you to become smarter networkers instead of those unprofessional suckers that I demonstrated earlier today on the stage. So we're going to be working on some skills tonight until 9 o'clock. So if you're here at 7:15, yeah, 7:15, that gives you an hour and a half break for lunch. And by the way, just to let you know before we break, so we're going to put the room back together. How many of you have enjoyed First Step Success so far? Okay, good. How many of you feel like you learned more than what you thought you would? And how many feel like there's a lot that can apply to every single area of your life so far, okay? Has there been any surprises for you? Has it been like, wow, I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting to get that out of this, right? Okay, did we help you solve some problems?
Yes.
Do you feel more confident than you did when you walked in here yesterday morning? How many of you have gotten some clarity? Clarity of mind, clarity in your heart, some stuff's moved out of the way? Well, what I want to encourage you to understand is this is, for some of us, this is our first time together, okay? And we are just scratching the surface. And this thing called GEMS, we just scratched the surface with this. Repetition is the mother of skill. You want to write that down. Repetition is the mother of skill. And if you want to master life, you want to be 2% marriage and parenting and health and all of these things. And it's really important for you to get behind the idea that this is your university course. It's a 5-year school. And we meet every 4 to 8 weeks in a city around the world. And that's where we have 3 days of intensive that takes what you're going to be learning with your tools, your books, your audios, your CDs, and your workbooks, because there's an entire university curriculum that's called the DJU, all right? So that entire thing, if you give me 1 year of your life, I promise you will not recognize your life a year from now. You heard several stories on stage today and yesterday where people haven't even given us a year of their life yet. They've made the year commitment, and they're 3 months in, and they're already paying off debt. They've already had huge breakthroughs in their relationships, already cut back some of their time. We have this gentleman right here in the front row who, in his first 4 weeks after his first steps, increased his income by $800,000 in 4 weeks. He's in the construction business. That was in 4 weeks. But more important than that is the connection that happened between him and his wife and the revelation that he had that he was the stressed out Ruby who was rolling over everything in his life and sacrificing his family, his wife and his children, who were the most important thing to him, that he was off track with that. He put that on track right away, apologizes to his company, to his leaders. He leads a lot of people, and the business, poof. You give me 1 year of your life, you will not recognize any part of your life. You will not recognize your physical body. You will not recognize your relationships. You will not recognize your finances. Everything that you desire to see changed and moved and to grow, if you want to wake up one day saying, I am proud of who I am today and I am on track, and you want that kind of contentment, then friends, it's going to take pulling out of the 98% on a daily basis and pressing play on a DJU. It's going to take you pulling out on a daily basis, an hour or two, for some of you, 8 hours a day. If you're as jacked up as I was, it needs to be 8 hours a day. Because if you have the kind of self-talk that I had, kill yourself. That tape going again and again and again. Kill yourself. Loser. Failure. Fat. Ugly. Stupid. You've screwed up for too long. You can never make it right. That was the tape that was playing in my head 24/7. So in my early days, I had to listen to stuff 24/7 because that voice had to shut the F up. Because it was constantly beating me up. How many of you ever had your mind beat you up? Well, try years of it 24/7. Years of it 24/7. So if that's you, then it might be 24/7 something in your ears, literally, to shut that voice up and replace it with another voice. So if you want to move in that direction, this is a 5-year school, but I'm saying give me 1 year. 1 year of your life. You're going to press play every day, 6 days a week. 1 day, do nothing. Every 4 to 8 weeks, there's an event. You're here. Whether it's in Dallas, whether it's in Chicago, whether it's in LA, no matter where it is around the world, you make the commitment. This is my class. This is my course, and a part of this internet course to get a PhD in life, to get in that 2%, I've got to show up. This is my commitment. So the thing that is profound to me is how many of you spent $50,000 or more on your education in college? And how many of you didn't blink an eye at it? If you were to make that commitment here, it doesn't cost you 50 grand. Nowhere near. But you, how many of you paid 50 grand a year every year for 4 years for your college education? How many paid more than that? There's some of you that paid $100,000 for your education. How many paid $30,000? How many of you didn't go? That's what's wrong with you. I'm joking. I didn't go either. I didn't go either. I didn't end up with the debt either. Okay? So if you were to give 1 year of your life, including the DJU, it's like every event, creating a dynasty, First Steps to Success, Hot Marriage Secrets, and the DJU is less than $10,000. Look at what you paid for books that what are you doing with today? Nothing. So the value is here, no question. Some of you paid $7.99 to get in this event. Some of you paid $6.99. Some of you paid $4.99 to get into this event. If you register tonight or this weekend for the next First Step Success, which, by the way, the only freaking hotel in the entire country that was big enough to fit us was in Dallas, Texas. So we'll be in Dallas, Texas, July 13th through the 15th. July 13th through the 15th. July 13th through the 15th in Dallas, Texas. Literally the only hotel that was available in the entire freaking country. Ridiculous. Nope. Come to Dallas. One day, we may have a facility in San Antonio or Kerrville, Texas, where I'm never leaving. But you will come to us. So be glad that we're still going around the country. Because that might happen one day, that you're coming to our campus, and that's where we're doing this. It's a beautiful place. What problem is a bunch of you end up moving there? Anyway, so if you register this weekend for that Dallas event, again, repetition is the mother of skill. Your price is not $7.99, it's $3.99. It's $3.99. If you don't do it here this weekend, you're going to pay whatever the web price is. So if you want to save that money, you can go right back there, and that team will help you get registered for that Dallas event. Now, here's the thing I want you to consider. Could you imagine if you had your spouse, your coworkers, your staff, your Salesforce here with you? How many of you wished you had people here with you? How many think there's a few people in your neighborhood or at your church? How many of you have been thinking of people all weekend, like, crap, they should have been here, I should have invited, I should have... You have time to make that happen, okay? So I wanted to give you that invitation. I want you to at least think about it. At least think about, give 1 year of your life. At the end of 1 year, Then you make a decision. Am I going round two? At the end of two, am I going round three? We have people in this room who have been doing it for 12 years straight. No joke. 10 years straight. Who's been doing it for 10 years in here? Where's my 10-year? 10 years right back there. Mariana came from Finland for how many years? 7 years flying every single month from Finland. From Finland. From Finland. That's commitment. So let's put the room back together. For those of you that are staying for tonight for the Smarter Networker breakout, we'll see you at 7:15. That means you have an hour and 25 minutes for lunch, dinner now. All right. Thank you so much. I got it.